Okay. Okay, so what I'm hearing is, Okay. So I propose, we're starting with questions, and we'll go with that, and I will check in. We won't move on to any other structure until people are comfortable and feel that their questions, there's been satisfactory discussion of the questions they brought. And maybe we spend the whole evening in there, and at 10 o'clock we're losing people due to thirst or whatever. Maybe that's the way it goes. But let's start with that, because we know that questions are the priority, and that's why we want to start there. Okay? All right, is there another question about just the meeting structure tonight? Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. So we will continue in question and answer until people are feeling satisfied. We won't cut it off, and we'll go from there. So, to back up, we're starting with questions and answers. Some people have offered questions here. We're going to start there, and we'll take it by topic. We'll go as long as we need to go for question and answer. And then the other things that we were proposing tonight, which we may or may not get to given the question and answer period, is some small group discussion to really be able to have more of a conversation about what the priorities and concerns are. And then final, we were expecting the people to come with prepared statements that they'd want to deliver, and we did have that public comment at the end. So that was the structure proposed. I'm hearing a lot of interest in that question and answer, so I recommend we jump into that and we start that, and then we can check in on what do we want to do later once we feel, if we're starting to feel satisfied that we've gone through most of the questions people had or the questions people brought. So that's how we'll start, or question and answer. Mayor and city leaders have prepared just a short presentation to respond to questions they've received already in writing or whatnot. So we're going to start with that presentation because we think those questions are shared by a lot of the people in the room. So we'll start there, and then we'll move into the question and answer period. Okay. I'm seeing some nods, so with your permission, I'm going to turn it back over for the purposes of the presentation, and then we'll move from there.
So I'm going to go real quick because I know people are concerned about having enough time, and I think Don is right. We need to stay and ask questions as long as people have questions, and I'm for that. So this very basic brief is just sort of my perspective on how we got here tonight. Next slide, please. So we started in 2012, and I should say all of this information is on the website, as I demonstrated earlier. It's where it's coming from. In 2012, we had a council retreat, and you know we were deep in the recession at that time, and we were talking about how we could continue to support our library, to support our cemetery, to support our police department, and that was one of the topics that rose to the top. Now, at that time, there was an initiative, grassroots initiative, that started here in Cedar Woolley that was widely supported by the community to include our librarian, friends of the library, and there was a lot of excitement around that initiative to form a district library. So if you go back, please. There was a petition circulated, and I was asked to sign that petition one day down in Cedar Woolley walking down the street. Deborah asked me to sign it. I said, well, I'm not a voter in the district. Doesn't matter. We need to show support for this movement. We can get more done together than we can apart. So I signed the petition. It went to the ballot. They got it. Go ahead and hit the ballot initiative. So there it is. Should the rural partial library district be formed in the unincorporated area of Cedar Woolley School District? That was the initiative. It passed by a large majority, 60%. Go back. So the initiative succeeded. This is 2012. It was a time of great hope. We were looking forward. We thought that we had solved the problem of the library being potentially in competition with every other department in the city. Go back, please. 2013. That's a pretty lonely slide. The district board was appointed by the county commissioners. To be fair, they didn't have the money yet, so there wasn't a lot they could do. Next slide. 2014, the city reached out, and you can find the letters on the website on a couple of occasions. We didn't feel like we got great response. I know there was a lot of people reaching out informally as well, but the district was going a different direction. They had decisions to make. I'm not going to second guess that, but a lot of time passed. Next slide, please. In 2015, things started to happen. We had a new district library director, Gene, who I think is here tonight, right in front, Gene Williams. And I give Gene some credit for kind of bringing us back together and being very cooperative with our library staff and with me. So 9/15, the city was approached and rejected a reciprocal borrowing program from the district library. So I understand the reasoning. There was some frustration there after 3 years of not talking to suddenly have the library come on board with a new smiling face and say, let's be reciprocal. I understand it. I don't agree with that decision, but it was our city library's board's decision, and we supported it. I'd like to see us move ahead on that in the future. Next. So now we had what we call the Pi Summit and the No Pi Summit. So the reason it's called the Pi Summit is because one of the members who participated brought a pie, because how can you be mad at each other when you're eating pie? And we sat in a room, and this was a brainstorming session, and I think it was a very significant point in the process, because we moved together and we wrote down a bunch of ideas about what was important to the city, what was important to the district, what were our strengths, what were our weaknesses, and where we could cooperate. Now, at this time, we learned that the district library was thinking about putting a library out on State Route 20, and the city council had voted to put a moratorium on non-tax-paying entities in our commercial business district. So there's a little tension over that. I'm not going to gloss that over, but we used that time well. We did this. Go back, please. Then we had the No Pie Summit. Not quite as tasty, but the same kind of thing, more brainstorming. Then in December, we had the first public meeting. Some of you were here. That was a kind of painful meeting. There was a lot of venting. But I think that venting was a good thing. I mean, we got it out there on the table. We weren't sure if we wanted to talk to each other for a while, but we got over it. Next slide, please. So 2016. I think on the 15th of January, I had a talk with one of the board members and said, we've got to fix this. I'm going to bring a proposal to your board that I think is a good starting point. That board member took it to his board, took it to the librarian. We thought, yes, this is something that could work. I was asked to present it at the very next library meeting, which only gave me a few days. I admit that I rushed through, and I had to notify all city council, talk to every board member on our library board, and I wish that I had had more time. So I hope that suffices as an explanation. Many of you have questions about why I did that so quickly. The board wanted it. The meeting was 5 days away. So I made my proposal on the 21st of January to the district board, and it goes something like that. We contract to partner for 20 years. We leverage our strengths. What are those strengths? Well, I've got a staff and a library that is, I've got a mature collection with a lot of value. I've got a great staff that understands the community. What are their strengths? They have somebody new who came in and has fresh ideas and has run large libraries before. They may be a little bit more interested in electronic books, or maybe not. They have a newer collection. They also bring a lot of money, and I'm going to refer to this map right here. So that is our school district, the big beige area. I know it's hard to see. Excuse me. So this area, from Snohomish to Whatcom, from Alger to whatever out here, Deer Creek, all of that beige area is our school district, and here's Cedar Woolley. In the district, 15,000 people who don't have access to our city library. In the city, 11,000 people who don't have access to their little library that's out next to Iron Skillet. So we have two libraries in the same town which cannot be used by each other's patrons. I think that's ridiculous. So here's a comparison of library revenues. For the district, about $800,000, not including timber revenues. So they're roughly up in the $1 million area. We have a $307,000, and when you put in all the maintenance and things that we do, it's in the $360,000 area. My proposal is with the money that we're using, we combine our assets, and it's just an accounting thing, but for the same amount of money the Cedar Woolley currently pays to operate the library we have now, we can buy a new library approximately twice the size of what we have. Everybody pays the same amount. The district is paying 50 cents a thousand assessed value. The city is paying approximately that now. We just up it up to 50, so it's even across the board. It's available to all Cedar Woolley School District patrons. There's no tax increase. All city staff retain their position, their pay, and their benefits, and the library will be operated by the district. So that's the basic proposal that I went forward to the district board with. Since that time, they've agreed to discuss it. We formed a negotiating team on each side. We've had three meetings. We've come to no decisions, but I think we're getting closer. So that's my perspective of what brought us here tonight, and I would add that there's been, you know, a lot of pushback. You've read it in the paper. You've heard things. Tonight, I hope you will get answers to those questions and concerns.
I'm just going to hit the process real quickly. The mayor already covered the current status. These are just the dates of those various meetings with the note that as of tonight, there are no additional meetings currently scheduled. And, of course, I like the picture of the Carnegie, so any excuse to get that as a backdrop is a good one. So what happens if the negotiating committee has something that they want to bring to the city council? That's a question we've received in 10 different ways. The city council adopted a resolution that specifically identifies the public process that will occur if and when the negotiating team has a concept to bring to them. So the first meeting is an open house workshop format where the concept would be presented from the negotiating committee to the city council, and they would hear from the public. There is then an opportunity for the council to do whatever it may like in terms of changing that concept. However, before taking any action, the council will have a second reading, at which time they may take and provide possible direction to the team and then send that back to the negotiating table. So before we have a draft agreement, something that you could actually read as in terms of a legal document, there would be a written concept, two public meetings at minimum, both with public input and an opportunity for the council to influence the decision based upon those public comments. So assuming then that the modified concept is acceptable to both sides and we're able to come to terms on a draft agreement, then the third meeting at some point in the future would be a presentation of the draft agreement. And at that meeting, the council would have a formal public hearing, and then no action could be taken to adopt the agreement until after a second city council meeting with additional opportunity for public comment. So a minimum of 4 meetings, 2 at the concept stage and 2 at the actual written agreement stage, would be necessary before the city council would enter into a partnership agreement. The fifth box then just shows the implementation phase. This is separate from what the city council has contracted SHKS Architects to do, which is engage the community in a visioning process about our current needs and future dreams for a library. So I just put this slide up here to show that SHKS has been hired to perform a needs assessment that will include a survey and other opportunities to comment. We'll be asking the question, what do you want in a new library? What are the services? What locations? You know, those sorts of critical issues. They will have a public open house that the architecture team will facilitate to hear from the community, and then ultimately they'll report their findings at a public meeting. And at some point during that process, once we've identified criteria for a location, there will be a call to the community to, you know, nominate properties, if you will, or locations that fit the criteria. So this is this process is very much about how could the parties partner conceptually and legally. This is all about what are your dreams for the future, not necessarily requiring one to do the other. In fact, they're working on parallel paths. So that's it. Keep it quick so we can get to the Q&A.
So those were just kind of bringing us to what has happened to date. And so I'm going to start topically with the questions people posted. And we'll kind of start with those, and then I'll say, are there any more questions on this topic? And then we'll move on to the next topic. And we're doing it that way just because it's really hard to track if we're jumping all around, so we're going to try to do it a little methodically. So the first question that I pulled off the wall was, and it's really about who are the actors involved? Who's involved in the joint operating agreement? And the question is, why is the county involved in Cedar Woolley School District Library? So, and I'll push this one to Aaron, and then Aaron, the first person will answer, and if they want to pass it to someone else, we'll go from there.
So the county government's role in the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District is by state law to select the trustees, and that is their sole involvement. So they're not engaged in any operational questions. They don't approve their budget. They appoint 5 trustees, and they get an annual report, and that's to my knowledge, the absolute extent of Skagit County government's involvement in their business. But we have a county commissioner here, so I'll defer. All right. For those of you who didn't hear, Commissioner Janicki says that is the right answer.
Okay. Are there any other questions about the actors, like who's involved? So here in the front. Okay, so the name is confusing. It sounds like it. Mm-hmm. So the real name is Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District. Is that right? Is that correct? That's the legal name of it? It is? Okay. Right, right. So it's kind of a donut. It's right, right. Okay. So, it's the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District includes everybody who's within the school district boundaries, excluding the population within the Cedro Woolley city boundary. Is that correct, Aaron?
Yeah, and Lyman and Hamilton.
And the towns. So does that still confusing? Okay.
Which is why I always call it the district library, because I can't say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but just to clarify, I think what Aaron said is that the actual Skagit County's role is very limited to the appointing of the trustees.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, I think the ballot title actually had an original name that referenced the Cedro Woolley School District. So it would be the Library District Board of Trustees who devised their own name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Okay, I got nods from 2 trustees.
Do you have another question?
Or? I was just coming up to that. There was an original meeting where the public was invited and we were all giving input on what title we wanted for the library for the district one. And then it was the trustees that ended up deciding
Okay. Right. So the trustees just elected this name after some input from the community on what the names might be. Okay. So that sort of clarifies the role of the county and what this name means and where it came from. Is there any other question about who are the actors involved? Like, who are the parties? Who are the actors? Are we filling? Okay, sir. Okay, so this is a question more about process, but whether or not there's participation by Cedro Willy Library staff? Players in the district? Today.
So I can answer that question because we have both a Cedro Willy City Board of Director member and our librarian, Deborah, on the negotiating team. So in that sense, yes, they're involved in the negotiation. Does that answer the question?
Okay. So do you have more questions about who's involved? Okay, so let's go with gentleman in the green shirt and then lady in the black T-shirt. So, sir, your question? To the central scout. Yeah. So just so maybe perhaps Aaron can restate. So the county role was to elect trustees to the governing body of this, right?
Appoint. Yes.
Appointed. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So under state law, once the district is formed, and our county has three of them. There's one in Concrete, one here in the Cedro Willy area, and then one in LeConnor and surrounding area. Actually, all three of them are school district geographical areas. Once they're formed, then the county commissioners get to select the five trustees who govern each of those. And the trustees' duties, powers, authority is all defined by state law. I actually don't know what the county's process was when they made this selection in 2013. It looks like we got an answer in the second row from people who are part of it. So I had a request also that we either need to restate the question or we need to get the mic out.
Okay.
Maybe Jana would be willing to run the mic for folks who are going to ask questions.
So it's my intention to restate it just so everyone can hear. We could also pass the microphone, but I don't want to eat in too much of our time trying to get the microphone. So if I can hear you and restate it correctly, we'll try to do that. It's the quickest.
So Chris Silvis here in the second row was part of the selection process in 2013 and I think could answer up if the question is how did the commissioners select or what was their process. I don't know the answer to that, but I think she does.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, there was a large group of people who attended a meeting. They held a meeting for people who were interested to come. And at the meeting, after there was a lot of discussion, then they asked people who were interested to let them know. And so we basically applied for the position.
And the trustees serve 6-year terms, is it? 5-year terms. Okay, so I don't know if you heard that. Trustees' terms are 5 years because this is a new board. Each of the five trustees had a different term, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, to ensure that the board didn't turn over all in a single year.
So that's some clarity around how the trustees got appointed. And ma'am, in the black shirt, did you have a follow-up question related to that?
The negotiating committee.
So what Mayor spoke to, okay.
Yes, Mayor Wagner, who is actually on the negotiating committee?
I am. Deborah is. Aaron is our attorney. Marjane Burke is our Cedro Willy Library Board of Directors.
No one from the Rural Library District?
Oh. Thank you.
Lynn Torsett.
Lynn Torsett, right in front of me. So the forms of war were very analogous.
So any other questions about actors? And I'm hearing it's kind of moving into who's on the kind of who's playing a role in this. So purple shirt. Yes, please.
So is it fair to say that since the library board will be dissolved under the interlocal agreement, any future C.G. Woolley residents who get appointed to the library board will not be appointed by the city, they'll be appointed by the county?
Okay. So the question is, if there is a joint agreement established and the Cedra Woolley Library Board is dissolved, does the city still then have the opportunity to appoint board members to the future managing board of the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District? Is that your question, ma'am?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Okay,
so,
thank
so,
you.
So yeah. The answer is no, the county commissioners would make that appointment.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the future,
the county commissioners would make that appointment.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would add that we are negotiating with the negotiation team about how that would occur, and they have already changed their bylaws to allow citizens within the city to be on the board in the future. So, in the future, there will be people from the city. It will have to be ratified.
So, Mayor, in that case, the bylaws that you're talking about, are those bylaws of the library district?
District's bylaws.
Okay.
They have already changed those to allow that eventuality to occur.
Okay. So, a question about representation. Yeah, in the red, please.
Further clarify Tony's question and to make sure I understand correctly. Currently, the county has appointed all representatives regarding this issue that directly affects the city of Cedra Woolley. Is that not what you've said?
No, so the county appointed the five trustees to the Central Skagit Rural Partial Library District. The mayor, actually, with city council concurrence, appointed the five trustees to the city library. So I'm not, does that answer your question?
Thanks. Yes, I needed some clarification. I appreciate that. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions about who are the actors involved and then how the appointments or how the representation system works with that? So I'll go in the gray and then we'll come up to Mary. Yeah, in the gray. And Jana's going to hand you the microphone. She's sneaking up on you. There she is. Yeah. Thank you.
So how are the... representatives on the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District, how were they selected?
The commissioners?
The county commissioners also selected them?
I'm going to direct that question to Aaron.
So I feel like we're getting a little bogged down here. So there are two libraries. Each of them has a board of trustees. Mm-hmm. So our city library has a board of trustees that's our process is governed by our city code, five members appointed by the mayor with confirmation by the city council. The county commissioners have the sole statutory authority for appointing the five members of the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District Board of Trustees. And there is actually no process that I am aware of prescribed under state law for how they do that. So it's up to the commissioners to make their selection and make their appointment, and they can... they can do that however they want. So does that answer your question?
Yes, thank
you.
Okay,
sure.
Okay. And so then, Mary, you have a question about actors or how the appointments work? Great. So
my question is, would it be possible during the negotiations to make, rather than county commissioners appointing at whim, would it be possible, since it is going to encompass the entire Cedra Woolley School District, would it be possible to base those appointments the same way the school district has based its appointments on its city, on its school district? They do it by population and centers of population. Would that be possible to include in the negotiations?
Well, it would be possible for the city and the library district to jointly agree to a model that they recommend to the county commissioners. However, the county commissioners have discretion under state law to make the appointment the way they choose. So I am not aware, and I do see that we have our prosecuting attorney in the audience, so we can phone an expert on this, but I am not aware that there is a mechanism in state law to divide the library district into wards like we do in the city, or maybe by the school district also for geographic representation. So I think the answer is the city and the district could jointly agree that we want a geographically diverse representation on the board, and I believe and have faith that our county commissioners would honor that request of the two entities, but the correct legal answer to your question is it would be up to the county commissioners.
So I think we can do another question on who are the actors involved and how they get appointed. Do you have a follow-up question to that one? Yeah.
When the mayor was saying just recently that city residents would be on the library, on this new library board, that's actually, there wouldn't be any guarantee of that because it really comes back down to the commissioners then, and they could decide to, if they wanted to have everybody from Lyman or mm-hmm. something. Okay, thanks.
So, no, I'm not saying who I'm saying I hear your question. So the question is, in the future, given how current state law works, is there a possibility that the county commissioners, on a whim, could appoint everyone from a small geographic area? Yeah.
Yes, I think that's true. I think mm-hmm. that's true, but that does also assume that the county commissioners would want to break the system that the partners had agreed upon.
Okay.
We have a county commissioner here.
Are you a county commissioner?
I'm Lisa Janicki, Skagit County Commissioner, representing this district. And as most of you know, I live in Cedro Woolley. When I ran for office, it's to make sure that, you know, we can do things that make sense and are common sense approach to government. And you're not going to have any guarantee that that's going to happen. But if a combined board, a combined jurisdiction is requesting something, it would not behoove three commissioners sitting over in Mount Vernon to throw that out. So I respect the opinion of the group and the direction from a board, from the negotiating team boards. And I want to see this work the way the public wants it to work. But as your county commissioner, I'm only one of three votes. You guys know how that drill works. You know, you got to get one of those boys to vote with me. But I don't think... I don't anticipate this is going to be highly contentious. I mean, we want the right thing to happen for the school district system.
So is there any new question? I think we've kind of talked a lot about this, and we kind of understand where we are today and what the future possibilities might be. Is there any other question about other actors who might be involved? Are you pointing? Are you doing that? Okay. So, and we will have a chance to come back to the discussion, but I'm going to move us on to the next question that I pulled off the wall. And the question is really about kind of what's the process here, but it kind of gets to the chase. So the question, and I'll put to, I'll start maybe with Mayor, who's laid out the process to date. And the question is, why can't citizens of Cedro Woolley vote on the issue? And by the issue, I'm assuming that means the joint operating agreement.
So why can you not vote on it?
That's the question written. Yeah.
Okay. For a contract like we're proposing, the 20-year contract, that would not be something you would typically vote on. For an annexation, which is not precluded under the contract as we're negotiating it now, that does require a vote of the city residents, and also I believe ratification from the district that yes, they would want us. So they're two separate things, and one would come after the other logically. So I would point out that what is important to me, because I hear this clamor for why don't we vote, just put it on the ballot, annexation. What's important to me is if that happened, I would not be able to negotiate the things that I want, which are, I want my employees to be hired. Well, if you just vote to annex, that might not happen. I want it to be in Cedro Woolley. if you just vote to annex, well, we don't know what that will allow. So it's a very important step in the process for protecting ourselves as a city to get the contract in place where we negotiate what we want, and then after that, if we decide, hey, we've lived together for a little while, let's really get married, that goes to a vote of the people.
So any questions related, so the mayor's answer is any questions related to the difference between what an operating agreement contract might be versus an annexation? Is everyone feeling clear they know what that means? Any other questions about those two paths forward or things that could happen? Okay, Mary.
Okay, here's a question for you. Why doesn't the city ask the Central Skagit Library to contract for services for a few years with us to see if a collaboration would work and still be wanted by both sides?
So the question is, why has the city, or why has the county not asked to contract with services to the city? Okay, re-offer contract. Okay. So the question is, what are the other options that have been considered? And specifically, Mary's suggesting, have you guys considered the rural county library district contract with the city for services as a first step? Is that fair to the question? So maybe, Mayor, if you want to take kind of a historical perspective, has that ever been skirted in any of the discussions?
Well,
yeah. Okay. Okay. So has that been discussed at all is my first thing. Has that been discussed? And then maybe the second question is that something that should be discussed? So we'll start with, has it been discussed?
No, I don't think that it has, except as a possibility. Mm-hmm. And I would go further to say that, and I'm looking at two of their board of director members, that would probably be a deal killer. I mean, I don't think they're interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Is there any, Aaron? So Mayor, are you saying that it has been brought up, it just hasn't been of interest to both parties, or are you saying it hasn't been discussed?
So the city did offer to participate in a contract with the district, really either scenario, in 2014. So that was offered, and I guess I would answer it a little differently to say that there's no reason why that couldn't be offered. I don't believe that the district board of trustees is interested in that, but that is a question for their board, not for us.
Okay. Is this
I believe in, as part of the PI summit, we drew a bunch of different scenarios up there. And that was not the one that came forward as being a positive step that was acceptable.
So in the front here, I'm sorry, I can't read your name tag. Judy, did you have a question related to that?
Yeah, I just have a statement.
So we're going to, we're trying to answer all the questions first. Is that okay? All right. Is there anyone has a question about the mayor and Aaron's answer about how that potential other approach was offered or discussed? Any question there? Okay. Does anyone here with the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District want to make a comment or response as to why that option potentially wasn't as appealing at this time? Or no? Okay. So, Judy, do you have a...
Okay. I'll say that when I did come to my first meeting here, uh-huh. people brought up the Clallam County Library, which has a very good library uh-huh. system. I also brought up the library up that is in Whatcom County, uh-huh. which I have a up there. I know they have the outlying members. Right. Both of those are good libraries. Mm-hmm. And I suggested, and I believe that was this year. Nobody told me it had already been discussed. But I said, why don't we try to do something along that line? Because these two great systems, as well as the one down in Westport, have had such success. So I guess I don't have a question, except it's funny that nobody brought that back to me at the meeting I went to.
Okay. All right, so it sounds like... Okay, so any other questions about that proposal? It sounds... And do you have a question about what that might... Okay, please. Thank you.
I do have a question. I'm a resident of the district and also use the local public library. And my question is, if the city library is actually serious about such a proposal, how would they accommodate in their very crowded facilities the population of the district when they really don't have the facilities even to serve the current population of the city adequately?
Okay. So the question is, how would the city accommodate, if there was to do a joint operating agreement, how would the city accommodate the new demand on the library given the size of the facility? Yes. Oh, okay.
No.
Not the joint operating, but just contracting for services. Is that even an ability given the size?
So I took the microphone because this conversation occurred before Mayor Wagoner was elected, with Mayor Anderson still here. It was before Gene Williams was library director. We were talking with Joy Neal from the LeConnor District, who was their interim. And, we didn't get far enough down in the process to identify solutions to that problem. That problem was certainly raised. What the city said to the district at that time is, we are open-minded about working with you in all sorts of ways, whether it's giving you a discounted rate for out-of-city library cards, whether it's giving your patrons immediate access to our library and expanding the collection, whether it's contracting, it's annexing. We said, hey, we're interested in partnering. We're looking for ways to partner. And we just didn't advance past that meeting. It really wasn't until Gene came as a permanent library director that we started to have more detailed conversations. So I think that the answer to your question is that is clearly an obstacle, and if we were to go down that path, we would be having a conversation about how do we infuse some capital and expanded collection, maybe expanded hours to accommodate more patrons, because remember, it's not just the square footage, but it's also the time. So we can buy more patron space by buying more days of the week or more hours in the day, and we can certainly do more with a larger collection and other digital materials as well. So there are avenues that could be explored, but we didn't get to that stage. There just wasn't interest at that time.
Okay. So, Mary Pat, there's another question from the gentleman over here. We'll start. So, sir? And you can use the mic. Jana's handing you the microphone. Thank you.
I've been in Cedar Woolley now for 10 years. I use the library at the minimum monthly, often weekly, sometimes multi-times weekly. But I have two questions I'd like to ask you. One, do any of you here... And I have to compliment you on showing up on a beautiful night like this. Do any of you here find our present library inadequate? Show of hands. All right, there's about a dozen of you. And the other thing is, do any of you here that are not Cedar Woolley residents, show of hands. Okay.
That are not residents of the city, are you saying? Is your question? Who in the room is not a resident of Cedar Woolley City within the city boundaries?
That's what I wanted to
know. Okay.
Okay, there's quite a few of you. So you're all interested in the library one way or another. I find our present library to be more than adequate. I don't see any reason at all for blowing a bunch of money on a new library, no matter who pays for it.
Okay. Or do you have a question related to the actors or any other operating agreements?
I wasn't sure what it was because I don't hear well.
Okay. Okay, well, appreciate your comment, sir.
That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Give that to Janet. Okay. So, Mary, do you have a follow-up question about pass forward potentially? Okay, so, and then I think there was one other question. Okay, I can't read your name tag.
Deirdre,
great. Okay, so we'll do Mary and then Deirdre. Thank you. Mary?
Initially, we're not interested in doing this contracting. Would it be possible for a rapprochement to reapproach that issue of perhaps asking the Central Skagit if they'd like to contract with us for a year or two to see if such a collaboration would be able to work?
So the question...
Yes, okay. That would be possible, but... Again, the question I think is more fairly directed to the Library District Board of Trustees, which is, are you interested? So your question is it possible to extend the offer? I believe in my role working with the city, the council, and the mayor, that the city council and the mayor remain open to all sorts of scenarios of partnering that would improve library service in Cedar Woolley now and for generations to come. So whatever that may be, I think they're open to those conversations. You have to have a willing partner to make it happen.
And then, Deidre, do you have a similar related question?
A good rationale that voting to annex is probably not a good idea right now. But it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, that there could be other types of votes, like an advisory vote. And I'll just get to the end of my question. You can correct me if I'm wrong about that. And if there could be an advisory vote, it could cover various topics. And instead of limiting what the mayor might do, might actually give you more support to go forward if it's a positive outcome. So my question is, could there be an advisory vote? And if so, could it cover all sorts of topics that might be aired or you might be interested in? And then finally, has that been under consideration by the city?
Okay. So
the first part of the question, which is essentially, does the city council have the power to ask voters a non-binding theoretical question? I think they do. I think they could ask a question. There are a lot of challenges with that, because if I wrote the question out, it would be different than if the mayor wrote the question out, and it would for sure be different than if Mary wrote the question out or if you wrote the question out. And so right out of the gate, how you phrase the question would become a political issue, right? So, you know, there's that challenge of how do you get the right question? It seems to me, but the answer is yes, I think it can be done. Process-wise, it would be a simple majority of the city council to meet the statutory deadlines for an election for the November ballot. It would be August 2nd. And then, of course, the city has to pay for the costs of the election. And then the second half of the question, I'll pass the mic to the mayor, and that was, have there been any discussions about that?
Well, certainly it's, excuse me, certainly it's not the first time I've heard Why don't we have an advisory vote? So to answer that question, yes, I've heard that before. So as Aaron explained, it's possible, and explained how it's possible. I think that we would be opening a big can of worms there, but it
does. No,
I have not considered it, but I know it's a question that people like you have asked before.
So any questions about the following up to Deidre's question about an advisory vote or what that entails or what it would do? Any questions around an advisory vote? Okay. And is there another question? Lady in the red, is it? Yeah. And Jana's going to hand you the microphone. Yeah.
My question is, why not go ahead and put it to a vote on annexation? to see if the city residents want to be annexed into the district.
Okay. So
I think that's a fair question.
That's a great question, a fair question. And I thank you because one of the things I think we want to come back to
annexation. And I know the mayor said, well, we wouldn't be able to contract this, contract that. But I think perhaps that would be an easier way to see. Well, then you wouldn't have to figure out how to word the question. It would just be annex or not. And you'd get, a pretty good idea whether or not the city.
Question is, why does the city not put a vote for annexation into the rural partial county library district on the ballot?
Okay, so I would restate what I said before, but you already heard that. So that fails to protect our people, and it fails to protect some of the things that we can negotiate for. For example, whether or not we might get representation that's out of the city. If we stop now and don't negotiate those pieces and go direct to an annexation, the first thing that happens is our library board of directors dissolves, and we turn everything over to the district.
Do you have any follow-on to that, Aaron?
I guess I would just give you the process answer just so you have that. And I've not done one of these, but as I understand the process, if the city wants to ask the question, the city council first passes a resolution establishing that desire. That's then sent over to the district board of trustees, who are essentially asked, do you want them? And if they say yes, then the question is sent over to the auditor's office to put on the ballot. So, and it's a simple majority to join, and then there are certain economic consequences. There may be a way to address some concerns through a pre-annexation agreement. But I think the primary concern that we've been working on is, maybe it's the elephant in the room, but, good grief. In 2012, you saw the pictures. It was optimism, joy, and hope about this combined library system. In 2013 and 14 and 15, there were some rough times. There were hard feelings on all sides. So it really didn't seem like we were going to go straight from all the hope and joy of 2012 through the rough patch that was 3 years of trying to, could we work together and just jump right into annexation. It seemed prudent, I think, to the city negotiating team to kind of work through some of these issues by contract, where there is, in fact, a little bit more control about how the provision of services would occur within the city limits. Mm-hmm. And that's really the key, at least in my view, to this agreement, is that there's a clear articulation of what levels of service would remain in Cedar Woolley by this agreement for this period of time and at what cost. So we would have total assurances of what we're buying through this through this partnership agreement.
And there's the question of, if that happens, who's going to build it? Because the district cannot finance for long periods. So when I talked earlier about leveraging our strengths, that is a very important strength.
My goodness.
The ability for us to, through a councilmatic bond, borrow for 20 years or longer. So if you vote to annex and we just go away, I don't know, Lynn, Chris, you're going to pitch in a bunch of money and build me a library of the size that I have talked about earlier, where would they get the money? They would lose the ability to bond on a long period of time. And then we don't know where it would go from there. So there's some serious risk with an annexation immediately until you set up those things.
So I just want to recognize, I see the lady in the white, and I see Tony, and I see lady in purple, and I see council member here. So, but there was a question on the wall directly related to this conversation, so I'm going to go ahead and read that just to make sure we're answering that, and then I'll go to that order. So the question on the wall was, why a, quote, partnership, which puts the city at financial risk, because presumably you'd be carrying the bond for the building, rather than the legal process of annexation already in place without the financial risk? And so if you could just recap or speak again to the financial implications of both those paths, just so everybody in the room is clarified.
Well, I think I understand that, and I don't know what you mean by financial risk. We're paying the money right now. It's money that you're already paying taxpayers to run and operate the library that we have now. If you think it's adequate, like Troy, that's fine. I think that our population is fast exceeding our size there. So we're paying that money already. We're not taking on any added risk. We're taking on a partner who helps mitigate our risk because they're bringing another $1 million a year. So we're all better off and we're all safer, my opinion.
So if I understand the question, you're kind of looking for the economics. Under the contract model, the risk, if there is risk, is really born in the agreement itself. So the agreement in its simplest form is an agreement to pay a certain amount of money for a defined period of time to receive a defined minimum level of service. So I don't perceive a great deal of risk in that model. I don't see it as really much different than the agreements the city currently has with our sister cities and county to build a regional transfer station, which was a much larger project, or the project currently underway in South Mount Vernon to build a $60 million jail, where we've partnered on a project that over the lifetime of our agreement is a couple $100 million. So, you know, I think this is what governments do, is they come together to do joint projects. They do it within the four corners of the agreement, and as governments, you build a number of mechanisms in to protect the interests of the parties involved. So I don't see a lot of risk there. On the annexation side, on the math, if you will, let me back up. So on the contract side, the question I think was specifically about the bonding. The city would use its debt capacity to issue councilmanic bonds. Councilmanic bonds is just a fancy word for a debt that doesn't require voter approval and therefore doesn't affect your property tax bill. So voted debt is what increases your taxes. Councilmanic debt does not increase your taxes. That comes from within the city's existing revenue stream. So these councilmanic bonds would run for the same term as the library service contract. That is, there's a match between the city's debt obligation and what the city receives for paying that. And the economics of that debt are then captured in the agreement with the district. So whatever that dollar amount is realized in terms of levels of service. And I don't know what the dollar amount is, foreseeing the next question, because we don't know how big the library might be of the future, nor what it would cost. So those are open questions. Flipping back to annexation, the city currently levies $2.69 per thousand of assessed valuation property tax. If we annex into the district, our maximum tax levy decreases from its current $3.60, right? So that's our statutory limit, $3.60. We're currently at $2.69. It reduces by the amount of the district's authority, which is currently there at 49 cents a thousand. So that would drop our maximum to $3.11, which is a lot of words of saying it doesn't really affect us because our current levy is lower than the maximum. So from an economic standpoint, a straight-up annexation with no other council action would result in a tax increase to Cedar Valley City residents of 49 cents per thousand. Your city council and now two mayors have not increased property taxes in 9 years. That's zeros every year for 9 years. And in 2017, you're going to see a 28 cents per thousand reduction in your tax bill. I think there's really almost zero chance that your city council wouldn't commit to you at the point of annexation of lowering your city taxes by 49 cents, thereby creating an actual post-annexation tax rate of $2.20. But that's a question that would have to come up as part of that election process. Was that helpful, I hope?
Yeah, that was a thorough answer, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take the people who had their hands up early, and then we'll come back to the gentleman in the black. So we're starting lady in the white. And then we'll go to Tony, and then in the black here, and then council member here. Okay, thank you.
I just wanted a little clarification on the annexation. And from what I understand, this, if annexation were to get on the ballot, the city would put in a request to the Rural Partial County Library District Board. The board would have to approve the annexation, and at that point, then it could go to the voters, correct?
That's correct, and the voters would be just the voters in the city.
Right, and so there's multiple decisions that have to be made before that could even be possible for the city residents to have that come to a vote.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, thank you.
So in the, I think it's Tony. I can't read. Is it Tony? The gentleman in the black. Okay. And then we have lady in the purple and then gentleman in the blue.
I disagree with Mr. Berg where there is risk involved where if they're joined together and decide to divorce, then there's very much risk for the city. If
so, you're suggesting there's risk if the if there's an annexation or if there's a joint operating agreement.
If there's a joint operating library, mm-hmm. and they get a divorce, there's going to be large risk in what happens after that for the city.
Okay.
Plus the fact that what is the hard cap on a councilmatic bond? You asked for $3 million. Is that a hard cap?
So no, I hear two questions, and so we'll start with the first one. The first one is, the first question I heard is, what is the risk if the partnership dissolves or divorces, is the term you used? It was a statement. You feel there is risk that if to the city if there's a divorce in the partnership. Okay, and you don't want to state that as a question, so perhaps clarification can be offered?
So the first part is a statement that there's risk by getting married because there could be a divorce. And I believe the risk can be mitigated through the prenup agreement. That is, we would... and I absolutely believe that's essential. You know, without a clear understanding about the possible scenarios where termination, failure, or divorce could occur, then this agreement would not be successful. And really... To kind of back up on the current status, you know, that was our last meeting, was an entire session on what if we fail and what if we fail in year 8 versus year 20, and they're difficult issues. So my comment about risk, I'm assuming that we come to terms on a prenup that adequately protects both sides. In the absence of a clear agreement and understanding about what happens in failure, then I agree with you. Your second question was hard cap on debt. So we have a statutory debt limit, and I would have to phone a friend and defer to our finance director on what our current statutory debt limit is. I would not recommend to the city council, I don't think they would agree to utilize all of our debt capacity for this single project. But where are we at about $5 million-ish? Oh, 10? Okay. Well, so we're not, I mean, if you don't mind, would you go look and then we can provide we'll give you the answer.
So waiting on response from finance manager?
Patsy's our finance director.
Finance director, thank you, about what the total debt capacity is and what the current debt outstanding is so you know what your margin is. The cap on the agreement, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Okay.
So the question is what is the most that the city?
Okay.
So is the question what is the most the city would borrow as part of this agreement? Yeah, there is no answer to that because we don't have a concept even at this point to direct that. And the challenge here is we really first have to have a concept that we'd work together. Second, we need to have gone through a needs process with the community to understand what the library of the future might be. And third, we're going to have some good cost estimating for what that library is so we can be realistic about it and then match our economic capacity through our partnership with the needs assessment as best we can. So do I think $3 million is adequate? Probably not. I don't believe that would achieve the library of our dreams. Mm-hmm. So what's the number? Well, that's going to be driven largely by what is the available cash to operate this, to ensure that this new library can be a solvent for its period of time, and that the district has whatever capital available it deems appropriate to run services in the rural parts of the community that aren't served by this library. It's not in part of that. So that would be separate. Yeah. So that, as I imagine it, in the agreement, so not until the third meeting would you have the actual language of the agreement, and it would be only, you know, it would be in this fifth box here, which is implementation. That is, in that agreement, the city has said we'll go forward and issue debt of some range, of which would be captured as in our payment. And we have talked in the negotiating teams about the possibility that there is a phase post-agreement and pre-issuance of debt where the parties could pull the ripcord and say, no, this isn't going to work for us. So, you know, it is possible that there would be a scenario where we get the agreement, it looks like we're charging forward, but then when we try to marry our needs and our wants with our economic reality, we say, you know, we just can't do it without taking more, you know, from the district's perspective, maybe more resources than they're willing to commit to a single library. Maybe it would make it so they couldn't distribute resources out to more rural areas. So it's an open question, and I wish I could just give you the answer and pop the paragraph up on the page and say, Neil, this is what we've decided, but we just aren't there yet.
So the finance director can respond.
Well, yeah. It turns out I may have misunderstood the question, but as long as you've got it, let's give the answer. What is the city's current debt?
Yeah.
The city has different debt limits depending on what kind of debt you're speaking about. The debt tonight in question, the city's debt limit is $10.6 million. The city has a few outstanding debts at this point in time, so the council could borrow an additional $8 million. Now, I concur with the city supervisor. I would not recommend that amount of debt, but according to the state law, that's what the city council could choose to issue in debt.
So I'm going to move us to the people who have been waiting a long time. So lady in the purple. I'm sorry. Oh, there's two ladies in purple. So let me start here. First lady closer to the front in the purple. You both have long hair and glasses, so you're not doing me any favors. So this lady, purple, and then we're going to move over to, it was here, and then it was here, and then we'll go to the back. So please.
Okay, I had a couple of comments and a question.
Could you start with your question? Would you start with your question?
I'd rather go in the order I thought it through. First of all, in regard to the voting that Christine brought up, I really feel that if we did go in that direction, there should be much more public information given out, because I honestly don't think right now if you held a vote, people would really know what they were voting for. Huh. The second is when the gentleman spoke about whether the library was adequate. It's a very sweet library, but we're growing. If you go try to lift a book off the shelf or put one back in, they're wedged in so tightly. Just like we're doing the urban growth, the 2020 growth thing, we all know this area is going to grow. And so, although, yes, I think there's a lot to be gained for if this were. I also think that the hardest thing is the details of it. And I would hate to see...
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to... Everybody here probably has a comment to make.
I'm sorry. Okay,
and so we really want to satisfy those questions.
I'll go to the question.
Thank you.
So if we do not agree to combine resources with CSL, or whatever the all name is,
will we still be willing to use monetary resources towards expanding and improving our current library? We of the different cities in the county have the least amount of our city budget going to the library, from my understanding. And since we at this point aren't supporting our current library very well, if I have that correct, I would like to know that if this fails, I mean, if this does not work, are you willing to do this for our existing library?
So if I can just a quick recap, the question is, whether or not the city decides not to pursue the joint opportunity, is it still willing to make a capital investment, invest in the current library?
So that would be entirely up to the city council as part of its budget-making process. So, you know, in our city, the mayor proposes a budget, and the council holds its public process and adopts it, but the authority to spend money is up to the city council. The only comment I would make is, when you look at this proposal, it does include an increase in allocated city resource to the combined partnership, because it proposes that we would spend the same in our money as they collect and assess tax valuation. But the elegance of the proposal is that it combines, so you get more together than either could get separate. But the answer to your question is that would be up to the city council and through their prioritization process and for them to determine.
So, do you have a question?
Well, I just clarified.
Sorry. Jumped in the back. So, in the way back. So the question is,
do we have essentially an earmark promised? And the answer is, I would never put those two words together. That is, we have an excellent state senator in this region who has, I will say, he has promised to go to bat for us in terms of a legislative ask. Will those dollars happen? Will they turn green? That is up to the legislature, and it's quite a process in Olympia. So I would not count that chicken before it's hatched, other than we have one of the best who will work very hard for us to make something happen.
All right, so, sir?
Just clarification on the annexation.
Okay.
Back in 2012,
like, who you are?
I'm Brett Sansom, city councilman here. Back in 2012, Deborah was interviewed by the Skagit Valley radio station, and the question of annexation came up, and it was she anticipated that it would partnership first, annexation later. So that was sort of the vision, and annexation was post-partnership.
Okay. All right, thank you. So a little bit of historical commercial. Okay. So we've been talking about, right now, the topic is really financial risk with these different paths forward. So is there another question related to the finances? Yeah, so in the red, please. And Jana's going to hop around to you. Everyone's like, you can't. Yes. Nice try, though. I appreciate it.
So, Mr. Berg, you said that the negotiated contract would minimize the risk for the city. So my question is, how do you enforce that contract? Would the city have the political will to either bring a lawsuit or some other action if the district doesn't live up to the provisions in the contract?
Yeah, so I would imagine we would have dispute resolution provisions that are not unlike those that you see in the multi-jurisdiction agreements that we're currently party to with our sister cities, towns, and the county. And all of them have multiple steps to try to avoid straight-up litigation. But I don't think the city would have, or I should say, yes, the city would have the political will to ensure that its minimum levels of service, that its contractual rights are enforced. And I think you've seen that. You know, you can look back at the city's engagement in a number of multi-jurisdictional agreements, and we're very engaged in ensuring that our interests are well represented. So to me, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and, you know, this is a better conversation to be had when we've got the text up there, and then, you know, we can have a conversation about, well, does that really protect you and how? And I would anticipate that you may very well identify areas of risk that I might not have seen, and I would appreciate that. We'll go back and add those terms in to address it. So, but theoretically, yeah, I think, you know, the dispute resolution provisions we currently have usually require some sort of a mandatory mediation. Some of our agreements then move to an arbitration model. Usually we've got a joint selection panel for somebody who would help us resolve disputes, because remember, this is not your standard litigation. At the end of this path, we're still neighbors, and we still need to work together. So everything about dispute resolution in this model assumes that we're still going to be just as close as we were when we're done, in proximity, in relationships, and so on. So, you know, it's a little different than the prenup where you can say, I'm never going to see you again. We still have to have a path forward. So, you know, that process is, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into developing that process in a way that would work for both sides. And that's the touchstone for me. You know, in this agreement, under the Interlocal Cooperation Act, one side is not to benefit to the other's detriment. It has to be a contract that is beneficial to both parties, and that both parties' interests are respected and are well articulated in the agreement.
Okay. So do you have a direct follow-up question? Okay. That's right. Okay. And then we do have a gentleman. Dennis, is it? Dennis is waiting to speak next. His is not a direct follow-up, so okay. Go for it.
So it's not exactly direct, but it deals with the finances. So I believe I heard the mayor say that the district would bring about $1 million per year to the partnership. So then the contract would need to include a promise or provision that the total amount that they have coming in would go to the C. Dooley Library. That was what I thought I heard it infer. But then later I think I heard Mr. Berg say, well, you know, they would need to provide other services, so there'll be significantly, or it won't be $1 million a year. Is that my question? Yes, I think it is.
Okay, so I guess the way I'd answer that is to say that the negotiating committees in these three meetings that we've had have talked about how, what we have not talked about is the district committing to a percentage or a dollar amount that would go in to run the C. Dooley, I'm going to call it the C. Dooley Regional Library location, you know. That probably won't be its name. I don't know what the name will be. But what we've talked about is how would we define the level of service? And the reason that I make that distinction is it's actually more important, at least from my view, that we're able to clearly articulate to the C. Dooley community who's putting their dollars in what the level of service is that's coming out. And I think we do have to recognize that one central library will not satisfy the district's needs to serve a very large district with more people than are in our city. So there is no scenario in my mind where the district would commit 100% of its resources to run a single library in the city limits. However, I believe it would be a significant commitment. I suspect it would be a majority of their budget in order to satisfy the operations of a library of this size with these hours and these services. You know, it would be the main branch in this area. It may even be the only brick-and-mortar branch. I don't know that. You know, that's a question that the Library District Board of Trustees would ultimately determine on their own and in the future, and I absolutely believe they would have money and that they would smartly reserve money in their budget to be able to provide those services to more rural areas.
Do you have a follow-up, Mayor?
Well, part of the question was directed at my comment. No, I did not mean to imply that 100% of $1 million would go directly into our partnership. I should add, though, that if you wanted to see less of that money come to Cedar-Woolley, a direct annexation might be a path for that. So that's why it's very important that we reach a good agreement that's mutually beneficial and that we negotiate together before we take that step, because that protects us. Then we can set parameters like Aaron talked about. How many hours is it open? You know, all those things that are important to our patrons, we can negotiate that in advance.
All right. So thank you. So we'll come to Dennis now. Yep.
I just had a question. I don't know if it's working or not. Is it working?
It's working.
Good. Can't hear my own voice. Well, I had a question because, you know, it's the Central Skagit, just as Aaron just referred to, is it's going to be one of those deals where they're still looking at expanding out. And they've got $1 million to play with, but that's going to be taken up pretty quick. And that's going to could impact the city here and the viability of the library here if they get overexpanded. And I don't think anybody knows what they're going to do yet. And to be honest, they probably don't either. So that's a concern to me. If they, you know, I was in banking for a long time, and you think you're financing one entity or getting into it with one, and then there's three or four out there that you don't know anything about, it might overextend them, and then the whole thing starts to suffer greatly. The other thing is, too, if it doesn't work out, and we go back to where the district says, we can't handle this anymore, you can do it on your own, we're going to deal with the outlying area because that's where we need to be, we have to go back and staff, you know, restaff the library. We're going to have a debt out there in that bond for the building. We have to go out and get the staff again back and train them and put the books back up and all the electronic stuff that'll be upgrades. You know, it's going to be a real heavy burden. And one of the other things I look at is you won't be here most likely, Aaron.
So is there? Do you have a question?
Well, what do we do in that case?
Okay, so the question is, you know, what do you do if the district isn't able to fulfill the obligations or gets overextended and the rest of the county and isn't providing the service that was within the contract to the area?
That's right. How do you protect the city on that?
So don't send me packing too soon, Dennis.
Well, you're as good as gone.
Okay.
The couple things. One, with regard to the district's budget, if you look at their website, Gene has put on there kind of a pro forma operating budget, you know, a wag at what it would take to run a joint library kind of in the size range that we've talked about. And there's no question that that's part of the challenge in coming together. It may be that even combined, we don't have the economic wherewithal to achieve our dreams. If that's the case, I would expect we would not enter into an agreement rather than see their board over-leverage themselves to the point of failure. So I'm not going to speak for their board, but I have confidence that they're going to do their own economic analysis to determine that they can satisfy the level of service that would be committed to in the agreement and not put themselves out of business. The second piece is that the agreement will not contemplate a way to end prior to the 20-year mark. There will be, in my mind, there will be no mechanism short of a breach that could then be enforced through a court process for the district to divorce during the term of the debt service. And I think we've been very clear about that throughout all of our negotiating meetings, that there's not a scenario where it could happen outside of a legal breach that the city would be stuck both with a debt service payment and not the ability to run a library. So I don't think that's a realistic scenario any more than I think the county is going to tell us we can't go to the new jail after we signed a 30-year agreement that committed us access to the jail.
So I see a question. Is your question related to finance or money or risk? Okay, if I may just see if there's any other questions regarding what the answer just was regarding risk or funds. And if... Is there a question regarding funds? Okay, so I will take your question. It seems like the last one regarding funds, and then we'll move over to the lady in the gray. Thank you.
I want to know why we're assuming that the vote for annexation would pass. Maybe it won't. And why can't we have a contract with the Central Skagit Library during the 2 years it's going to take them to build the building, and their people have no services right now and no books. Mm-hmm. And so why can't they be paying us some money to support our library and help us and maybe expand our library a little bit? Right. And it seems there's got to be some other financial options here that are not being explored.
Okay, so I think the question is, why can't we offer for the district prayer to use the library in the short term? And
so Mayor Anderson and I made that offer in 2014. So I feel like the answer for you is really to talk to the district board about, is that something that they're in the market to buy? So Would the city be willing to work with the district on an interim basis while they stand up a new permanent library? I think from the city perspective, the answer is yes. Deborah may have an alternate perspective from the library board, and if so, I'll pass you the mic. No, she says no. So, you know, the answer in 2014 is tell us what we can do to help you get stood up, and let's talk about something that could work.
So moving to lady in the gray, please.
Yes. So
can I tack on to that answer, please? No. Sorry, ma'am. I should say that it's not like the district library doesn't exist and doesn't have books. It does. I've been in there. I looked at the books. It's certainly not as big as they would like, and that's part of a problem that I can think we can solve together. So, yeah, they have books.
Okay. Lady in the gray, please.
Yes. So I live in the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District near Sammish Elementary School, and I've been involved in the community for 50 years. And on behalf of that group, our school district, I apologize that this whole thing has gotten so sideways, because I would guess that out of the thousands of us who live in the county area in our school district, your school district, mine, we have been virtually unaware of a lot of what has happened here. So I know that our county or our city folks can't answer this, but perhaps our commissioner can. What is it? My question is, how do we move this forward for those of us who would like to see this resolved? Because I was as jubilant that day in 2012 as my former student was. So how are we going to get this fixed? And can we do it sooner than later? Because I'm not getting any younger, and I just want to go to this wonderful library.
Representative, can I be willing to entertain? Who is she asking to?
Let me just jump in once again. I'm sure our commissioner would be happy to say something, but she can't do anything to help you here other than maybe use her good offices or facilitate meetings. You know, the county government just doesn't have a role in this. The question is really to the Board of Trustees of the Central Skagit Rural Partial Library District.
So to review... Yeah.
So how do I get on that board? I want to know how this happens.
Yeah. Well, that I think we could answer, and that is you ought to get in touch with Lisa Janicki, and next time there's an opening, then your name could be in the hat of those names who would be considered for appointment to the board. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Skagit County Commissioners appoint.
Yes. Okay. The appointees. So the question from the audience is whether or not the board members who are appointed by the commissioners are all within the jurisdiction, and the answer is yes. They all live within the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District. Excuse me?
Minus the city,
yeah. Okay, so we've kind of gone through. So I just want to appreciate to Aaron America. He's given very detailed questions about kind of the financial implications and all these different paths forward. So... I took last call for questions around finance. I'm going to go to another topic that was on the wall, and it kind of gets a little bit to the vision of the libraries. So this may be something all three of you have a comment on. So the question is there a general agreement on the purpose, parentheses, mission of the libraries? A general agreement on the purpose and mission of the libraries. So, Deborah, would you take that first? Would you?
Of the library? That's a great question, and I think that all of you have partial answers to that question. We could go in so many directions that basically the sky's the limit as long as the pocketbook is willing. Do we want early learning options? Do we want to have an after-school club? Do we want a teen section in our library? All of those things would have to be discussed. What are the highest priorities? What would be the price tag? And that's why we have these lovely architectural experts to help us with that. So that's basically what you're asking is a needs assessment. And that is something that we talked about as being related to what we're doing tonight. But also it is quite separate. I have lots of ideas. I'm sure you do too. But which are the best ones? That's something that we would have to talk about. It's not an easy question. It's not something I can answer just on the space of a moment. But I love the question.
So, and then Mayor, and then and Aaron, if you can comment on.
Yeah, I just wanted, if you saw that picture of the whiteboard, and that's on our website, the Pi Summit. Okay. There are some of the things we talked about the first time, and I think those are things that resonate with everybody. The top priority on both sides was a new library. Then it says stories, community hub, a place, a destination, a STEM center maybe. It's got to be dynamic. It's got, I can't read that one, lifelong learning, children's programming as a foundation, good customer service. These are all the things that we've talked about in general in this summit and the next summit, and we continue to talk about in our negotiation. But it's also a piece that our architects will work on if we decide to move forward. That's the needs assessment that Deborah talked about, and she's absolutely right. It's a crucial part of this. And remember, as Aaron showed earlier, during that process, there's, what, two other public meetings to address those things. And you, and if we get to it tonight, we can talk about some of those things, but I let Dawn run the meeting.
Mm-hmm. I would like to add that the good news is that's the fun part of what we're doing. Financing, maybe not quite so much. No, no. Okay. It's from one of our first negotiation meetings.
Okay. So if I can, so Deborah, so I'm assuming your follow-up question is about what is the needs assessment process and how does that fit? Is it related to that?
I know that at the December 15th meeting, there was comments similar to this, but the residents at that meeting were not allowed to comment. It was only for the city council members and for the district board members that made those comments. So that's just my point. And if it was something else that I didn't hear about a meeting, I'd just like to know about it. Thank you.
So just to clarify, if I may clarify, so just for everybody, so she's referring to the December 15th meeting. What was the decision that was being discussed?
So the December 15th meeting was a joint meeting of the City Council and the Library Board of Trustees to just talk about
the Pi
concepts of moving forward. This particular picture, it's a photograph of the whiteboard from a meeting held on November 12th, so approximately a month before that joint meeting. And I don't remember who was there. I'd have to look at my notes. Deborah was there. I was there. The mayor was there. I just don't. This was not a public meeting of the City Council. This was.
Kind of person. Okay. So,
yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I know Paul. So you have a question about this? Yeah.
Comments are hitting the wall. I would like to know, I'd like to have a head count, since it's been made a lot of, on how important it is for the council members to get our input. So I'd like to have a head count on which council members are here this evening. If you'd stand
so if
for
the
us.
If we a request for council members to stand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we could.
So you've got six of the seven council members, and Councilman Cornegay is in Philadelphia this week to attend the big to-do. So, you've got everybody who's in town, and Councilman Cornegay wanted to express her disappointment that she couldn't be here both tonight and also Wednesday night. That just was bad timing. She could not control the timing of that, Democratic National Convention.
Well, that's really important, because you don't want to feel like all this commenting is going to waste if they weren't here.
Right.
The other thing that I'd like to ask is how many I'm a member of the Seaport Woolley School District taxpaying group, and I'd like to know how many board trustees are here tonight. If they would stand and let us know how many of, let me know how many of them are here.
city or district.
So the question is, so she asks the question of who amongst the Cedro Woolley City Council is here, and those members stood, and her follow-up question is, who of the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District on their Board of Trustees, who's here? And so...
how many members?
Two. So we have Chris in the front and the gentleman in the back. What's your name, sir? Lynn.
So we have two out of five?
Two out of five, yes.
And all five of my board members are here tonight for the city.
All five of the library board members. So,
and I guess I would point out, this is a city council meeting, so we have all but one. This is not a district board meeting. If they had more than two, then they would have needed to notice this as a public meeting or at least a meeting where they would have a quorum. So, right, but not for them, right?
It's a public meeting
for
the city.
This is a city meeting, not a joint meeting with their library board.
Okay. And so, please, yeah. So, lady in the orange and the gentleman in the purple.
A related question then would be the Cedro Woolley City Library also has a board of trustees. Mm-hmm. How many of them are now present?
All here.
So, my understanding is all are here. All five are here. And would they stand, please? Would you mind standing? Just you've been sitting a long time. Well, okay, okay. All right, so all five of the Cedro Woolley Library board members are present.
Well, maybe everybody else knew that, but I didn't.
No, I really appreciate the question because it really helps, I think, just to see. We have a great group of people in the room. We have a lot of representation of the critical decision makers. So, gentlemen in the purple, do you have a question? Would you use the microphone?
I'm just curious how much money you've got into this architectural firm that you've hired or contracted with.
The budget is $25,000. We've spent a little over $5,000 to date.
All right. So, do you have another comment related to
that? I just wanted to clarify that we can only have two members here or we would have a quorum because this is a public meeting, because of the Public Meeting Act. So we could only have two of us here. Okay. It isn't that the other people don't care. Okay. I want you to know that.
Okay. All right. So the questions that we were discussing is whether or not there's alignment between the vision and mission of the two libraries that we're talking about. And then we did a kind of a head count with who in the room. So, sir, you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Jana's going to hand you the microphone. There you go. Thank you.
Bear with me. This is probably a very naive question. You may have already covered it. But in thinking, perhaps prematurely, of the needs assessment, it's not clear to me how much money is available at this point or how much money the Central Library District has accrued to put forward towards a new building. In other words, it's hard to think about the possibilities and make them realistic without any grounding. Maybe that's been given, but I missed it.
No, I think that's fair. And the needs, you know, the needs assessment process hasn't kicked off, and that's part of the, you know, that's part of the give and take at this point. Is, you know, if we're going to work together, we need to get a little further down the path of developing a joint concept, which could put some parameters around the economics of a new structure. At the same time, we also want to hear from the community, maybe in a more pure sense, about what the dreams are before we squash them with the realities of budgets. So, you know, there's a balance there. But, you are right. There is not a number out there. The mayor's proposal had, I think, $3 million. You know, just a little bit of work we've done convinces me that that's not going to be adequate to get the job done. You know, I think we're probably looking at something with all of the costs, including the soft costs of probably closer to $7 or $8 million. So then how do you pay for it? And that's the challenge of the concepts coming together is, well, how can you afford that?
Since I have the microphone in my hand, can I take advantage of that? throw out a dream, not a question, but a dream, and that is to say...
I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to have to... I'm going to ask for other questions. Yeah. All right. Oh. I'm trying to be fair to everybody else who has still questions, but not to Jim, because Jim... No, you asked your question. Was your question answered?
Yes.
It was? Okay, good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After. So she's focusing on questions now, but if you thought you wouldn't get a chance to comment, that's coming.
Okay. So I just want to acknowledge that Mary has her hand up, and there's one other hand up here. They gave up? Okay. So, Mary, I'm going to come to you next, but on the wall was a very related question that I want to just get out there, and it was related to the new library, I think, that Jim talked about. Does a new library save the city money? And then the follow-up question was, who pays for it? So just a final clarification of whether or not a new library would save the city money.
So, I'm just as the concept is today, the answer is no. You know, coming together will cost the city government a little bit more than we're paying today, because we would be matching our economic commitment to the assessed valuation ratio. So, does it save money? Not if you're comparing prior year budget to, or pre-budget to post-budget. Does it save you money if you compare what it would cost to deliver that library going it alone? Unquestionably, in my mind, there's no way we could afford to pay for that library, the library of our dreams, with only our budget. So those are the two answers. If that's what you want, then yes, working together saves you money. If you're comparing the post-condition to the pre-condition, then the city will be spending a little bit more after coming together than before.
Any follow-up? Okay, so I'm going to go to Mary and then into the gentleman in the purple.
I have another question, which is that we've had the word community bandied about quite a bit tonight. And I would like to know the definition of community. It's all going to benefit our community. Are you referring to the citizens of Cedro Woolley? Is that your community, the people who elected you, Mayor Wagoner? Or are you referring to the Cedro Woolley School District community at large?
So so there was a question directed to Mayor Wagoner, and then also Council Member Housel has some answer to that question as well. So maybe we can start with the mayor and then the council member?
Yeah, well, okay. I've been asked that question before, and I think that the solution that I have put forth is a great benefit to everybody, and I do include the Cedro Woolley School District all the time in my thoughts, and here's why. Because every kid in our school district comes to the city to go to school, and they graduate from the city, and I want them to have the opportunities that are easily made available. We don't keep kids who play football off of our city-built and maintained youth football fields. We don't separate them that way. We don't tell kids who play soccer on our teams they can't use the new Winnie Hauser thing because they're not city residents. We don't do that. So I think that we can do a good thing, and I can represent both the city well and the school district.
And do you have a response here?
Yeah, I think in the interview I alluded to with our librarian, Deborah Peterson, back in 2012, I think she said it best. It's a comment to that, who's the community? And Deborah said it best. She said, our community is not just the 10,000 city residents, but it is the additional 16,000 people from our neighborhoods. And she said that that's, I think, is what our community is.
So, Mary, do you have another question, a follow-up question? Do you have a follow-up question?
Well, my comment is that no one in the greater Cedro Woolley or even the larger Skagit Valley is ever turned away at the Cedro Woolley City Library. So I think it's great that you want to help everyone. I urge you to remember that the people who put you in office are the people who live within the city limits. The other question I have is, and it's related to that, is it's awfully nice for us to have this architect for $25,000 investigating what... Now, see, here's where that definition comes in. Is it the community or is it the city? The city's paying for the architect, but it sounds like, and particularly because it sounds like the Central Skagit Library has been invited to the architect talks, that the city is already paying for needs assessment for the entire jurisdiction. It's the entire Cedar Woolley School District.
So if you could phrase that, so the question is the needs assessment that the city is contracting for
that the city
assessing the
for,
needs of the entire library district?
Or is it assessing the needs of the city?
City. Okay, so the question is what is the amount of that needs assessment?
And the answer is, it depends. If we go forward with the district, it's going to be a bigger needs assessment. If not, and we have to step back and go a different direction, then we're going to be assessing city needs. But to your comment that nobody has ever turned away, that's kind of a tricky way to say it. That's not the same as they can check out a book and take it with them.
So maybe that's a question, and there seems to be some confusion. So I think a question that warrants some clarification is whether or not people who live outside of the city but within the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District have borrowing privileges currently at the Cedar Woolley City Library. So give some clarification on that, please.
Yes, we have a collection for that reason that we did not like to turn away, particularly children.
Uh-huh.
We have a collection of probably about 1,700 books
okay.
that anyone can come in and get up to four at a time, no matter where they live, no matter what their card status is.
So it's not the full collection, it's a sub.
Correct, it's a subset, right.
Of that collection, okay.
Correct. And we also have one for adults as well.
Okay.
But no, what you're talking about would be legally a gifting of public funds.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I can't make the resident who lives across the street pay X amount of money and then offer someone who lives in Big Lake the same privileges for nothing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Is what I'm saying. It's a very hard one. It's a struggle. We've struggled with for a long, long time because I don't ever like to say no. Ever. I mean, no. No, most people don't understand that they pay for library services. It's okay. Free. Libraries are free. That's something that everyone comes in and says to me, and I'm kind of like, I wish.
Okay.
And I would just add that if you look to, just an answer to that question, if you look to our neighbors north and south, you know, you've got countywide library systems. So it's a little frustrating for people who are not from Skagit County to understand that if you happen to live out on the McLean Road, I'm sorry, no libraries for you, but if you're a little further in on the McLean Road, you can go to Mount Vernon, and because we've got agreements, that means you can also go to Burlington, Cedar Woolley, Anacortes, LeConnor, and Concrete, but if you live, in Big Lake, you can actually only go to the one in Cedar Woolley that the district runs, but you could also go to Anacortes, LeConnor, and Concrete. But you can't go to Burlington or Cedar Woolley or Mount Vernon. So, you know, I mean, just to be fair, that is a legit question of why in the world would a patron walk into a public library and think they can't borrow a book? In other communities, that would be normal behavior. In our community, we think it's crazy that they would just show up and want to borrow a book.
Okay. And there was a question in the back. And so if I could, Jan, where's the microphone? Oh, gentlemen, okay. So she had a clarifying question. It was, what, for borrowing privilege, are people charged? Is that right? What the costs are? Yeah. Okay.
Right. Currently, it's $72 a year. We do have a senior rate card. And we also sell cards at 6 months, and we sell cards at 3 months. Correct. Correct. Everything that we own, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, gentlemen in the purple.
Well, these comments tie in directly to my question. My question regards mostly the impoverished in our community. I happen to be a caregiver and manage an adult family home, so I work around the elderly quite a bit and the disabled a fair amount who happen to at least upon my experience in the library, seem to be the majority of patrons, because that is that's a resource available to them. I worry. I'm a former resident of Concrete. I've been a resident of Cedar Woolley for 3 years now. In Concrete, within the city limits, once the Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library District, which, of course, up there is Eastern Skagit Partial. Anyway, once that came in, all the residents within the city of Concrete were no longer able to borrow from the new library that was constructed, because there was no agreement between the city and the library district. Unfortunately, with an impoverished or elderly person on a fixed income, thank you, that $72 a year is a make or break thing. It sometimes that means, well, is Puget Sound Energy going to get my money this month, or do I want to go and try to keep myself active in my community and keep my education up? Or if you are a young child like I was in an impoverished situation, we lived in a similar area where transportation was not that great. And also my borrowing privileges were not that great, because we could not afford at that point $20 a year. I know some people will turn their heads or roll their eyes at this because they make more money, or maybe they are employed by the city or the county and don't have those financial restraints. But a number of people in our community do, and I would like this to be addressed in the mission of the library system. Thank you.
So that was a comment. Unless, was there a question that you... Okay. Right. Okay. So if I could say, so just for everyone, so the question is what in the potential options that cities consider, what's being done to respond to the needs of the people of the community that have the lowest amount of resources, the impoverished section of the community? Would you guys
The agreement, if we were to come together, would give everybody in the combined 26,000 population service area access to this new main library. I expect we would also have reciprocity with the other libraries throughout the county. And, you know, your Concrete problem got solved in November last year when the town joined the district, and so they're now in. The other thing that we've talked about, at least about the provision of service, is that the district has an interest in delivering service in outlying areas, but that same service delivery model could be very effective within the city limits for shut-ins and senior facilities where there's limited mobility. So that combined, once again, that coming together where there's a service that would be great going out to wherever is also great in town and is a service we aren't currently able to provide, but working together could provide. Well, what I said has been discussed. We haven't gotten past the point of talking, so we don't have a concept that we can touch, nor do we have an agreement. But it has been discussed at the table that would be a benefit to city residents, especially for those who are shut in or just, some of the senior care facilities where you could bring books to them. So I think that would address the concern that you've raised.
So any other questions about vision or mission or follow-up to this question? Is it? Yeah, okay, here at the microphone. Thank you.
Now that that's been raised, I can ask my other silly question. Okay, does Lyman and Hamilton, what other libraries are in this boundary? I'm going to call this the boundary library.
Okay.
And I would like to know what other libraries are in it, even though they wouldn't pay the amount or have the interest that Cedar Woolley has. I'd like to know who all is impacted because.
Okay. So the district, the question is, what's up with Lyman and Hamilton, and are there other libraries in the district? And so Lyman and Hamilton don't currently provision library services.
They have volunteer libraries, basically kind of similar to what our exchange books are at the library. But they're incorporated townships, so they, just like you have the right to choose your services, they also have that right to choose that service for themselves. And that's what would have to happen.
So Lyman and Hamilton are not in the district, and and the only libraries that are in the district currently are the Cedar Woolley Public Library and the new Central Skagit Rural Partial County Library over on State Street. Concrete is not in the district, yeah, so they're in a separate area, and I can't remember, do they call that the Upper Skagit? So the Upper Skagit Rural Partial County Library District is the Concrete School District, including the town of Concrete. And then the other district we have is the LeConner Regional Library District, which is the town of LeConner and the LeConner School District that surrounds it. No, well, Samish is within the Central Skagit Rural Partial, but there is not currently a facility. The only facility that the district currently has is the, you know, their temporary facility on State Street. Okay. Okay, so the question is, what happens to the people who live in Lyman and Hamilton? They have not been part of our conversation, so they're presently in the same situation as somebody, you know, like I said, out on McLean Road. They have to buy a library card, and unfortunately, because they're, and it's a reasonable scenario, but you can't buy a library card and thereby get reciprocity countywide, because it creates somewhat of a commodities market in library cards. And at some point, I believe there's a solution where the libraries could come together and essentially pool out of resident card funds and be able to have a reciprocity card. But Deborah could come. You know, Deborah's been here for 31 years and has been through three countywide votes on countywide library provisions, and I don't know how many years of can we just, like, borrow books from each other? And that is only a recent accomplishment. So I think it's probably reasonable for her to comment on just how hard it really is in Skagit County to work together. You know, for some reason it's not in our ethos on these issues, like it is when we're doing, you know, flood fights or something of that nature. So.
Okay. And then after we hear from Deborah, I saw a hand up here. Was it asked? Okay, so Kai. And then we'll go back to Lady in the Purple and then again to Tony. Okay.
We actually, all the libraries meet. In fact, we had a meeting today. We all play very well together. One of the biggest problems, and something that is very hard for everyone to understand, if you want to ask me afterwards, I'd be happy to try. But, for instance, it's close to $100 to get a card at Anacortes. It's only, I think it was $32 or $35 for Upper Skagit. So you have such a wide dispersal. What Aaron was saying was you're going to make a black market, I mean, out of it. You can buy the cheapest one you get and then get all the services from all the other libraries. Does that, am I making any sense? It's a really hard concept, and it took us 10 years to get to the, at least 10 years, to get to the reciprocal agreement that we now share with some of the other libraries. It's really hard. Taxation is not a, fun subject.
Okay. So we'll hear from here, and then we'll go to Lady in the Purple, and then up to Tony.
I just have a question, and I don't know if it's pertinent or not. Okay. Are there such a thing as bookmobiles nowadays? Do they still have bookmobiles? Isn't that what Whatcom County has?
Yeah. So the question is pretty clear. Is there such a thing as bookmobiles? Do we still have those?
Yes. Bookmobiles are very much still in existence. However, they are more expensive than you might ever dream of operating. A new one of fair size probably starts at about $750,000 to buy. They go through two or three sets of tires per season. They get about 4 or 5 miles to the gallon. So we all love them. I love them. I visit them every time I can. And I know of at least three systems in this last year have decided that they can no longer afford a bookmobile for basically that reason. It's the other thing you have to kind of think about, too, is we have some really rural roads. And if you can imagine a 75-foot, fully loaded bookmobile bouncing in a pothole, that's not an easy thing. But I love bookmobiles, too. And, yes, definitely mobile transportation of books is still alive. Maybe shrink it a little bit. That would be the easiest answer.
So we'll do I recognize you, and so you're kind of third. So we have Lady here and then Tony and then up here, Deidre. Yeah.
Yeah, so the question is clarification. Lyman's not part of the district. Lyman is in the Cedar Woolley School District. It is not in the Central Skagit Rural Partial Library District. And neither is Hamilton. So So if Lyman and Hamilton wanted to join, they could do so through annexation, and then their citizens would be taxed the same millage rate as the rural folks, or those two towns could enter into a contract to get the provision of services. Well, so under state law, when a district is formed, the district is formed by the people who live within a certain geographic area, excluding cities and towns. So that's the donut reference, is the district's the donut, we're the biggest hole, and Lyman and Hamilton are smaller holes.
Does that clarify? Okay. So, Tony, do you have another question? I mean, I think we're learning a lot about how it all works. So.
I have not, because I don't anticipate there would be any tax increase, because I believe that our city council would not put the question of annexation out without also committing to reducing tax by the amount of the increase. But, you know, the number is not too hard to calculate if you just use the hundreds as your guide. You know, a $200,000 assessed value home, which is probably fairly typical in Cedar Woolley, you know, it would cost you $100 per year in tax increase. But again, I just see zero scenario where our council would ask you to raise taxes by 50 cents when they've gone even through the hardest times to the fairly extreme budgeting measure of not even taking an inflationary increase of 1% a year for 9 years, and you're going to see a 28 cent per thousand reduction January of next year.
So any other questions on kind of the vision or mission? That was the last topic we were addressing. And then Deidre had a question. Sorry, Deidre, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Oh, then there's a question up in the jury. Oh, the mic is off. Oh, yeah. We've expired the battery on the microphone. Yeah, we have spares. We'll just get that fixed. But, Deidre, do you think you could just project the question? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Test. I think if you just love the mic, it will work just fine.
I will love the mic.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to quickly suggest to all of you that live outside the limits of the city of Cedar Woolley that you've got $1 million a year, and there's no reason to wait. I would suggest that immediately after this meeting, you talk to your trustees about free services.
So,
go ahead, Mayor. I mean, that question was directed to you,
okay.
And it was about whether or not the will and interest and vision of the community has been incorporated so far into the discussions you've had. Of those who show up, yeah.
So, if the question is, have I been listening this whole time? The answer is absolutely yes.
Let's let him have a chance to respond fully, and you can ask a follow-up question if there is one. Thank you.
So have I been listening? Yes. And I think that there's a whole lot of ideas out there besides the ideas that are of the people who come to this room. So as your mayor, I get out and I walk around and I talk and I email people and I have a life outside and I get a lot of different input. So I am listening to everybody, and I know that there's a wide range of concerns and a wide range of ideas about what this could be. Everything from it's just fine, we don't want to change anything, to my end of the spectrum where I think we can get something really grand for no increase in taxes. So I guess, yes, I am listening. I listen to everybody's comments, and I invite everybody to come in and talk to me. Some people have taken me up on it, and they find that I'm quite harmless, though.
Sorry, I didn't ask you about everybody that you might talk to. I asked you about the people that are spending hours and hours of their life showing up here at council meetings, writing letters to the editors, and a lot of them are represented here. And my question wasn't, are you listening? It was, what is going to happen as a result of that? I mean, it seems like there is a consistent group. Maybe there's some people from the city that are just like, hey, mayor, whatever you want, go for it. But they don't show up at the council meetings as near as I can tell. So my question is, what is the plan to incorporate the vision of those who take the time to show up and have some thoughtful, considered opinions?
Okay, well, I give everybody's opinion equal weight, whether I hear it in this room or elsewhere. So if your real question is am I going to do it exactly the way some particular person in this room wants? Probably not, because okay, there's a wide range.
That's not my question at all. My question is whether you incorporate the positions of the people
who. And so we've had a lot of, if I may, just in terms of the process, we've had a lot of kind of question and answer, and we've heard some people who just offered a comment in that. But we haven't given everybody the chance to offer a comment because we've been in question and answer. But that is our intention tonight, to go through kind of public comments for people who want to give a recommendation. No, but my point is for the people in this room, we have not given them the opportunity to make public comment. And so we need to do that so that it can be incorporated. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't mind taking a crack at it. I've been to all of the negotiating team meetings, and there's two comments I would make, and I made the same to the Cedar Lea Library Board of Trustees. If your comment is don't talk to them, then we are still talking to them. If the comment is I'm really concerned about this, that, or the other thing, then absolutely those types of issues are being raised by our team and by their team. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. So the frustration for me has been the just don't even talk. Well, I mean, that's tough. That doesn't give us much guidance. But if the concern is that, you know, I'm really worried about the Cedar Lea Library, it turns out, has a special collection of historical books that nobody else has, possibly nobody else in the world. What's going to happen to those books? That is an excellent example of something that was brought up and has been then discussed in negotiations with the concept of a special provision that would deal with that collection really throughout time. So is that a direct enough answer? Yeah? Okay.
Okay, so any other questions? So there's so the lady in the glasses has had her hand up intermittently, so we'll give it to her. And
I just feel like we haven't heard from Deborah. And Deborah, I would like to know how you feel about a collaboration.
So the question is,
libraries collaborate all the time, all over the place, so I'm always open to collaboration. The thing that I've been doing over the last 6 months consistently is listening. And I'm going to take my direction from what my community wants. So now's your chance.
Okay, so that was Deborah's response. Do you have any other further comment on that, Deborah? So that was Deborah's response to the question. Your question was specifically directed at Deborah, right? Would you like to hear a comment from everyone else? Okay. All right, so any other questions? Sir, in the white?
Is there something about
Thank you.
Some aspect of this process from the other side, from the Central Skagit rural side. What is their vision for this? We seem to be in certain areas at complete loggerheads. My impression, and it still is my impression, that the Cedar Woolley Library is bringing a lot of hardware, a lot of history, and a lot of soul, if you will. As I see it myself right now, the rural district has been created through the vote on 2012, and what they're bringing is a lot of horsepower and money. What is their vision as what their role is, and what do they want to see as the final product of a collaboration?
Mm-hmm. So,
as much of it as you can share.
Yeah, so just acknowledging that that's a question that would be best answered by representations of the Cedar Woolley, but given the conversations you had, maybe you could give some insight. Yeah.
What I'd like to say about that is I'm definitely not going to speak for the Central Skagit folks, but the needs assessment that we've been talking about, that's where you need to come, and that's where together we're going to start weaving those threads together. I mean, we're two entities, and if we're going to make this work, we're going to have to find common ground. And so not everyone's going to get everything they want. I'm hoping everybody understands that. That's not the way compromise works.
Okay. So, Aaron, you have another response to that question?
Yeah, unless Chris or Lynn want to jump in, we are talking about a concept that is building a marquee main branch library in the city. And so if we get to where we're going on the concept, then their vision must include that branch. You know, that's the home, the heart of the library. As services are pushed out from that library, it's the place that where people come and have the coffee and use the internet, check out books. You know, this would be a library every bit as nice as any other library you've been to in Skagit County. So, you know, and, you know, I'd certainly yield to our trustees, but, you know, that's what we've been talking about building together. And I would take from the fact that we're continuing to talk that that's a shared vision.
Any comment from the district right now? Okay. So there's a hand up in the back. So we'll start in the back in the salmon dress, and then we'll move forward, lady in the black, and then up here. So.
Thank you. That's me.
Lady in the salmon dress. Yeah.
In the salmon coral dress. Stunning. Sorry, I've been here a while. My name is Layla, and I'm a librarian at the Central Skagit Library. We don't do the long name and joke about it all the time. I would like to answer some of your questions, and I would do that not at this time because this is not my deal, but if you come to the library, I'm part of the horsepower and the money. I'm a real person. I'm a real human being that loves a lot of her patrons and tries to do whatever I can for them. You can ask some of them that are here. Hey, y'all, shout out. I'm very uncomfortable in this sort of setting, but I just, please come down to the library and ask us what we think about our dream library for the future. And Jean and I are always there to answer questions.
Thank you. Yeah, so a very, like, obviously very impassioned invitation to speak with her directly about the vision of the library they have. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So thank you. Okay. So thank you. So moving forward, what was the other questions? There was one up front. And I want to make sure I didn't miss it. Oh, okay, in the black, right. It was black and then K. Yeah. And then we'll go back to the lady in the white.
There are a lot of rumors floating around about this new district library, and one of them is that the whole entire collection of the Cedar Woolley Library is just going to be turned over lock, stock, and barrel for free to this district. And the other one is that the new library building is not going to be in downtown Cedar Woolley, as Aaron just said, but be out at Big Lake. Can someone clarify that for me, please?
So,
yeah, so the question is, as part of the agreement, would the City Library's collection be turned over for free? And isn't the library branch really going to be in Big Lake rather than downtown Cedar Woolley? And the answer to the second one's easy. There is no agreement that the city the city's team would even bring to the city council that would have the city's regional library anywhere but in the city. And in fact, the mayor's drawn a little bit tighter boundary around it, and that is within or near our central business district, because it's intended to provide excellent walking access for patrons. We'd like to be on a thoroughfare for good vehicular access, and we'd like this library to also provide a shot in the arm for our downtown community. The first question is, the value of the library collection is part of the overall partnership. And so we have not quite come to really even a concept of how we get our arms around that. But, you know, what the city is bringing would be stuff and money, and what the district would be bringing is money and money that they would spend on stuff. And so however you want to look at that, you know, those dollars will need to be accounted for in the agreement. So the library is not just being handed over for free. It's part of a more complicated economic transaction where what goes one way is returned the other way in terms of level of service.
And Mayor, you have a follow-up comment to that one?
I do. And also because I know that we really care about that collection, but remember, what's going to our new grand library? Our people are going. All of our people are going. So if Deborah's there, who loves our collection more than her? So I think that should really placate any fear that something crazy would happen to our collection.
Okay, so I think the next question was Kay, and then behind Kay, lady in the white. Yes, okay? Yeah. Oh. Here, I'll just come closer to you. Yeah,
can
so.
Can the city talk about possibilities of where this is going to be built, or how, or what kind of building is going to be used?
So, I guess I've kind of wanted to talk about it for a long time. Now, the real answer is we don't know, but I'll go past that. The real answer is we'd have to get to a needs assessment, but I'll go past that. I'm not an expert on libraries, but I know that the library that we need for the future, we're in an 8,000-ish square foot, and we're packed to the gills. It's clear that with Gene's library, they're packed to the gills. We're going to need something that's about double, I think. Without any needs assessment, I think that's a common sense. We're going to need something about twice as big because we're talking about music rooms and other types of rooms, a STEM center, study rooms, English as a second language. These are all things that people talk about and want. And I want it to be downtown. Aaron talked about an economic shot in the arm. So, in my dream of dreams, and this is subject to evaluation of, I think we have, initially, we think six sites that we would want evaluated, and the city would go out with a bid at that point and say, is there anything else that we haven't considered? But I want to go to the old marketplace and have that place refurbished. It has a huge parking lot. It's on a main thoroughfare. It's in walking distance of our new businesses like Woolley Market and our old businesses like Oliver Hammer. Now, does he want to sell it? I don't know. How much would it be? I don't know. But I can picture getting there, and it would erase what I consider to be not a very attractive building. You may disagree. I would repave that parking lot and make it park-like. That's what I would really like to see. We have to get to that point. But that's the location I would most like. There's many others that you can probably think about that are really close to right here. So have I answered your question?
Yes. Okay. So the next question is Sylvia, or JC.
Yes.
Jackie. Thank you, Jackie.
I was just wondering if you really want the people from the district here, because all I've heard is negative, and we're trying to steal the library.
So the question is whether or not. So the question is whether or not the city's interested in having district partners here. Whether or not the people in the room are welcoming of the representatives in the district. Okay. And so, so we'll kind of take that as a comment to a reflection back to the experience. And we will kind of, I just want to acknowledge that we're rolling into 8:00. So hats off to you guys, because you have put in some time here tonight and listened to a lot of very detailed answers to pretty technical questions. And I think it's been very illuminating on some of the questions people had when they came in. I see a hand up for, I see two, three, it's like an auction, three hands up for questions. And so I do, we'll take a few more questions. But I would like to have two things for certain happen tonight. And one is an opportunity for the city council members to stand up and just give their thanks and speak a little bit about what they've heard and what they're taking away from this meeting in terms of concerns the community shares or priorities they've heard from the community. And the second is to give people the opportunity for public comment, because so far we've sort of tried to keep it constrained to question and answers and want to have as many questions answered before we move into public comments so we don't get into kind of a circle discussion. So that being said, right now it's 8:00. So can I propose that we do another 10 minutes of questions? People who have questions, we'll go through and answer those. We'll give an opportunity for the council members to give kind of a comment, and then we'll go into public comment. That way, everyone has the opportunity to hear from the council members, but they're not obliged to wait till all of the end of public comment to hear that. And then the council members can do any final thing. They get to do whatever they want, basically, after the public has a chance to give comment. Is that agree? Okay. All right. So I saw. So who were my questions again? If you could put your hands high. Come on. Okay. So we'll go here. Yeah. So thank you. There was one outstanding here that wasn't on one of the questions. The people in the audience stated it, so I didn't ask it. It was, since the Cedro Woolley School District is already divided into director districts by population, why doesn't the city insist on the same representation division for a new combined library board? So we addressed that one in the discussion of who has the ability to tell the county to make the appointees, how they make it. The other question that I have not called out was actually directly to Central Skagit Library. So there's no one here that can really address that properly. No, she's here. She's here. So, yeah, so the librarian here as well as members from the district. But the question was, and it feels a little sort of negatively worded, and that's why I was holding it. But I'll read it since the question was asked. Have all the questions been read? What has the Central Skagit Library done for their patrons thus far? What would you do for the joint system if it happens? So both those questions are directed to the Central Skagit Library, and I think you've heard a very impassioned plea to come and have that conversation with the folks of the library, and an acknowledgement that this is not the Central Skagit's meeting, that they have another process, and so in that process we'll have public outreach and content. And so if that is a question, that there will be deliberative forums for people to have that answered by those people. Yeah, and Chris, yeah. Yeah.
I am a member of the board, but I cannot speak for the full board. And this is not our meeting. I'm here to gather information for our board. Okay.
So with all of that, those were the questions that were posted on the wall, and I thank you for that. It's helped us be able to organize this by topics. So does that satisfy? Okay. So moving on to here, and then we'll go to Kay and then to Betty. Yeah. Oh, you know more questions? Okay. So please.
I would like to have the address of the Central Skagit Rural Library, and I would like to know if the list that we fill, or the our names and addresses out there, if we could get a postcard for the next meeting, because I found this really, I commend you. I think you did a super job of passing information to all of us. We all had a little bit, now we have more. So those two questions, and they're easily answered.
Okay. So the question was the address for the library board, and I think if Chris, if you have that handy, we can just put it up on a slide, if you could just, I could give you a piece of paper to write it out.
You can pull our website.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That was that. Okay, okay. And then the connection about us, yeah.
And while we're looking at that, I want to thank the district library board members and librarians for coming to this. I really appreciate you coming. That's for you, Lynn, if you didn't hear me.
So we have one more question that's been outstanding. So we'll ask that question. And then with your permission, I'm going to give an opportunity for the council members to make a statement. And then we'll move into public comment. And so those of you who have comment, please stay. Those of you who want to hear all the comments, please stay. Those of you who came with questions and felt those are answered, you're welcome to stay or go. But that way we have a chance for the council. Nobody has to wait until however late we're here tonight to hear from the council members. And so, Betty, is that right? Okay, Betty, what was your question?
We've been members for almost 18 years of the Cedar Woolley City Library. We were part of the group that took a that Deborah gave the vision to move out into the county and try and get the proposition passed. We worked so hard for that. We did want a library to join. That was what we committed to the people that we were trying to get the signatures from. That's what we wanted. But when I got to the meetings with the Skagit County Library, with the Cedar Woolley District Library people, the trustees, for 2 years they refused to connect and contract with Cedar Woolley, and that made it really hard. They got really upset with me because I asked the same thing every time, every month at the same meeting, and I know that at one point Rich Weirich did turn to the trustees, and he said, I know 500 people that are going to get this tax rescinded if you don't start serving your people. This young man back here asked, well, how do we feel in the Cedar Woolley School District? We feel like we haven't gotten any services. I'm still a paying member. We're still paying members of the Cedar Woolley City Library, and it serves us well. They're wonderful there, and it's very frustrating not to have services except in two tiny small rooms. I have checked the books that are there. They're not the kind of books that I particularly am enjoying. So you want to know how I feel? That's how I feel. I feel like since November of 12 and March of 13 when the taxes came in, April of 13 when the taxes came available to the trustees, I would like to have had some services since then, and I haven't had any services.
So if I may, Betty,
a lot of us feel that way.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Is there a question that you wanted to ask?
Yes, when am I going to get services?
Okay.
And I'm going to
okay. 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 All right, so with that, we want to give the opportunity for the council members just to stand and acknowledge what they heard, because I think a lot of people came here tonight wanting to hear from their council representation. So we'll do that pretty briefly, because it's not going to be the last time they'll have a chance to speak, and then we'll move into public comment. The public comment format, we're using more the traditional format because we wanted to respond. People asked, we want the opportunity for public comment. We're like, okay, we'll give you the format. So we have a mic here that you can stand in, and we will do timed comments to 5 minutes. So that will be kind of the thing. You can kind of get up and move around a little bit. So if the council members, could you raise your hands for me one more time? One move. We lost one. Okay.
One over here.
Oh, sneaky, sneaky. Okay. All right. So I feel really bad because we didn't plan ahead of time which council member would go first. So it looks like it will be Brett. Okay, and then actually, if the council members want to call on the person who will go after them, we could do that. It's a facilitator's trick so we can get through. So, Brett, would you mind starting for us?
Sure.
Okay.
Here?
Yeah, and I don't know where the hand mic went. Jana has it. You're welcome to do there, and we can just pass the hand mic for anyone who wants to stay in their spot.
Hello, I'm Brett Sancham. I'm a Cedar Woolley City Council member at large. I represent the city as a whole. Back in 2012, our librarian, Deborah Peterson, painted a beautiful picture of what a library should look like as in a partnership. We've worked very hard, and in a few years, there, you know, it's been rocky, but I believe since it didn't happen in an A, B, C step, that we're not going to get to that point of beauty. And I think, you know, this partnership and working together now, I think we're going to see that. I heard someone ask, or maybe made a comment, you know, what does it benefit? And literacy benefits the community as a whole. Literacy, you know, they make prisons based on third grade literacy rates. I mean, if we don't have a populace that can read, you know, that is informed, that is the greatest benefit. We are here working to build a community based on literacy. And I think it's powerful. And I think a partnership creates a library for everyone. And that's what I believe.
Hi, my name is Chuck Owen, and I represent Ward 5. First of all, I want to thank all you people for coming out, and I've heard a lot of questions and a lot of answers, but honestly, I couldn't answer them now because all of this is still just a proposal, and there's a lot of talking to be done yet before we get things solidified. But I know how I feel. I feel that Cedar Woolley Library should remain Cedar Woolley Library. And I think there's some way that can be worked out that Lyman and Hamilton or the school districts can come alongside. And I think we ought to buckle down and try to work something out. But I'm kind of fond of Cedar Woolley Library. I've been here for about 60 years, and my kids went through it when they were in high school, so I kind of want to keep Cedar Woolley Library, Cedar Woolley Library. But anyway, thank you all for coming out. And another thing is I've heard the word rubber stamp, and it kind of pissed me off. I'm not a rubber stamp. I don't work for the mayor. I don't work for the city supervisor. I work for the people I represent. So, and that's the way I'll vote. So thank you all again for coming out.
The baton off to one of your co-council members? Haha. Would you like to stay there or do you have to come up? Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Those that have left, full house. It's nice to see this many people coming for a big topic. As the mayor and Aaron Berg have said, yeah, we've heard your comments. Right now, there are some of us in quandary as to where to go. Aaron's thinking, you know, we want to, if we build this new structure, yeah, we don't want to build a Taj Mahal, Carnegie Hall, maybe. It's your money that we're spending. You're going to be taxed for it. But as everyone says, our growth is forthcoming. How and when this will blend and come to fusion, who's to say? It's something I think that, as Brett said, literacy and advancement of youth is something that we are going to have to project for our future. We try to make decisions which are going to be beneficial for not just Cedar Woolley community. We use Cedar Woolley school district and county as a whole. So we are going to project this as a community project to enhance our future as our city continues to grow. And we hope it will be beneficial to all. But like I say, we are spending your tax dollars. If you agree with this, if the words, if we get things written up and it's a mutual agreement between Skagit Regional Library and the Cedar Woolley Library, hopefully it'll blend. It's going to take a blend of finances and population and things to make it all work. Hopefully it will. My personal stand is you have to try sometimes, even though you fail. how those provisions are going to be written up, how it's going to work, how long it will work, we don't know. You have to take chances in life. This is something we might have to take a chance on. So you will predict to us where you want it to go. We do listen. We will. Thanks.
So, Julia? Yeah, would you like to stay there or would you like to come up? Okay.
So my name is Julia Johnson, and I represent Ward 4. And I have to say that I actually grew up in the library. It was actually fairly new when I was a child, and I went to a lot of the reading programs that they had, and I thoroughly enjoyed them. And my children attended the library as well. I really believe that what we need to do is serve the community, and I hope that we can do that. I'm very excited about the proposal. I'm hoping that there is a possibility that we can come together, that it can work for everybody. As Deborah said, there is compromise that's involved, and we don't always get what we want. But, you know, right now it's just all subjective. We haven't come to any kind of anything conclusive. And so, you know, what do we do? I can tell you that if this doesn't go through, I would very much like to see us move forward with improving the library that we have now, expansion, providing funds. I think that that's really important. A library is central to a community. So that's kind of where I stand. I have to say that I was really impressed when I came here and I saw the people. I was absolutely thrilled because this is what government is all about. This is really the best, I think, of government. And so thank you for coming out.
Who's next? Okay. Would you like to come up? I guess everyone's coming up.
Good evening. I'm Brenda Kinzer, and I represent Ward 3 here in Cedro Woolley. I would like to echo everyone else's sentiments. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming out tonight. This is really amazing to see so many people out here interested in this cause, regardless of how you feel. It's just, I'm really glad that you're here tonight. In consideration of the library proposal, I am interested in looking towards the future. I think both library entities know that they can't go forward very much longer into the future without making a change. And I would like to see us get as much as we can for our dollar to support the needs of the future for our community, for our students. Things are changing. Times are changing, and we need to provide different needs as time goes on. There needs to be more technology provided as children are growing up. Online books and e-books and things like that are really becoming a big thing, up and coming, and being provided more and more all the time. It's becoming far more popular with all generations, I have to say. Everybody's interested in those now as technology advances. So I envision something, and I won't say either way at this point because I don't know what I consider to be best yet. But I envision something that can support a great deal of technological advancement to support all generations, as well as supporting the type of library that we have right here in Cedro Woolley right now. We need to keep those tangible books in our hands. That is so important. Kids need to have those in their hands as well because they're kind of going up by the wayside. Kids without books is a generation lost in my mind. So I'd like to see a technologically advanced library as well as keeping the tangible books, but I can't say which way, what site I'm on right now because we don't have enough information yet. Like you've all heard tonight, there haven't been any decisions made. There's a lot out there on the table, but no decisions have been made yet. And I don't think I can make a decision or vote until I hear what has come to the table, but what the actual agreements have been made between the two parties. But I definitely am looking forward to the future of a library of greater size and big advancements here in City Raleigh. That's how I feel.
And we have one final, yeah.
Number two isn't here, so I'm Judith Dunley, and I'm Ward 1. And I come to the City Council from the Planning Commission. And so I have a different kind of view still, because Deborah presented to us on the Planning Commission a really well thought out improvement to the library, the funding for it. She was speaking of grants and things she could get for it. So I'm just really, this got thrown at me as I came on board and I kind of went, huh? But I've heard everybody that comes to the meetings, and they all seem to kind of have my view, too, which is a city library, but that's not fair to the people in the school district. So a community library is the way to go, and I look forward to seeing a more concrete model that we haven't been presented yet. That's my view.
All right, thank you. All right. So I apologize. I had missed the second part of her question. So her first question was, like, what's the address of the Central Skagit District? And the other one is, when is the next meeting? And by that, do you mean the meeting of the city or the Central Skagit's next meeting? Okay. Okay. So in terms of the question is, when's the next meeting regarding the future decision related to potential joint operating agreement? So
there is not one currently scheduled. The Central Skagit Board of Trustees meets on August 2nd at 7 p.m. The City Council will meet this Wednesday at 7 p.m. And if this Wednesday is the same as every other council meeting since January, this item will be discussed at the public comment section of the City Council meeting. But in terms of, you know, the answer to your question, which is what is the next meeting that would potentially advance or affect the proposal, there is not a meeting scheduled for that purpose. Well,
When that meeting is scheduled, how will it be posted?
So the meetings that I'm talking about are the negotiating team meetings, and those are not open to the public. So, okay, you're talking about the meetings that I put up on the board, the four meetings.
Yeah.
Yes. So the first meeting in that sequence has a minimum notice, I think, of 10 days under the resolution. So that will be in the paper. It will be on Facebook. It will be on the city's website, the library's website. The district so far has reproduced meetings like that on their website to get notice out. We do our very best. We also have collected – do we have emails on the sign-in sheets?
Mm-hmm.
Addresses on. Okay. So, address.
Could it be possible, Aaron, if as people leave, if they added their email address, if people wanted to be notified by email, would that be possible?
It would sure be handy for us because then we could very quickly push out notices like that via email. And, you know, the minimum time for a meeting for the city government is 24 hours notice. Now, under our city council resolution, you could say for the first meeting there's a 10-day notice, and then the other meetings would happen at regular meetings. So that's not an issue. But, you know, getting the word out is frustratingly tricky these days. There are so many means, and yet so hard to reach everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Oh, and Deborah says, don't forget the Cedro Willie City Library Board of Trustees will be in this room this Wednesday at 5 p.m., so you can come for a doubleheader. That is the library board at 5, quick intermission, and then the council will kick off at 7, and both meetings are free.
All right. So so now is when I promised that we would move into public comment, if that's okay. And so I'm just seeing hands go up. So our format for public comment, you're probably familiar with. We have the podium up here. We are taking notes. We're recording in one way or the other the comments that are made. We're going to limit all the speakers to 5 minutes. We want to make sure everyone who has come to speak and provide public comment has the opportunity to do so. So you can't like get back in line over and over until we've had to make sure everyone has the opportunity to speak. So that's the format, the parameters. Any question?
I have a question about that. Are you not intending to adjourn at 8:30?
We're staying until we've heard the public comment, and then we'll adjourn afterwards. We're not going to hard cap it at 8:30. Does that make sense? Yeah, so the meeting's gone long. Is there a question about the process?
Yes, and that's also in this room, 7 p.m.
Okay. All right, so if you would like to make a public comment, if you could come and use the... This got turned around somehow. But you can come and make a comment to the public. You have a public comment? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, public comment. Here, great. So, join us at the podium. And I'm going to be your timer for 5 minutes. You don't have to use all of it, but I won't let you use more than that.
Okay. It's 2 public comments.
Okay.
She's young, 12, so.
Okay. So, why don't we work with that? All right. And if you could just state your name when you start, okay. Which is kind of the standard protocol. Thank you.
I'm Talia Honey, and this is Delilah Huey, and I'm going to be reading her letter that she wrote today, but I'll read mine first and then hers. Okay. She's a little too shy.
Okay.
So, the last time I spoke at one of these meetings, we lived in the county. I was for the joint library then and continue to be an avid supporter now that we live on Ferry Street. We have a great opportunity to create something excellent. There's no denying that the city library has served a wonderful purpose over the years. But there is a chance here to make it significantly better. My husband and I started the Woolly Market. When he and I are working late hours there, we don't say this is good enough or this is adequate, as someone said before. We ask ourselves and each other, how can we make this better? How can we make this excellent? It seems like the answer to this question for the greater Cedar Woolly is pretty obvious. Honestly, it baffles me that pooling resources like this to create an asset for everyone is controversial at all. Many of the challenges throughout this area don't respect city boundaries, such as drug use, poverty, and petty crime. I don't think that the ability to get books and share a common public library space should be either. I hope the city and the rural library can work together to create something excellent for our community as a whole. And I'm about to have a baby, so I hope it's not going to be too late for that. So this is Delilah's. She lives on Hohen Road. My name is Delilah Huey. I'm 12 years old. My great-grandma and I live in rural Cedro Woolley, where, as you all probably know, requires you to pay for a Cedro Woolley public library card. Reading has always been a large part of my childhood. I've always thought of books as a safe haven, a place where anything was possible. My first memory of the library is walking in and going where the discarded books were, wishing there was even a single children's book. Sorry, I'm hormonal. When I didn't find a book there, I went to the children's books where longing to read every one of them. I had no idea that some people could check them out and read them at their homes. Sorry.
Would you like to take a break?
I just have one more paragraph.
Okay.
I've asked around to kids like me who live in rural Cedar Woolley who can't afford the spare money for a public library card. Our hope is for anyone to get a public library card while we are still in our youth. Thank you, Delilah Huey. Sorry.
Our next public commenter, it's hard to follow, I know. You're going to jump in? Okay, and then you'll be after? Okay, all right. Please just state your name. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sylvia Matterend, and I live in Clear Lake, so I'm part of the Rural Partial County Library District. And I just want you to know you can check out books. And Layla and Jean have done a wonderful job of helping us. And my mother and I use the facilities there and enjoy their excellent customer service. I really encourage a collaboration, and I encourage the city council to not necessarily listen to some of the naysayers that are here that may not even represent the majority of the people who live in your city. They just may be vocal, they may be loud, but they may not represent the majority of the people in the city. So, city council members, I encourage collaboration. And the rural board members, I also encourage collaboration. And I know you've heard that from me a lot. And the people also in the rural library district, I encourage you to come to the board meetings and also share that with you. And Mayor, I really appreciate the courage for you to do this because I heard what I consider verbal violence tonight, and I'm sad to have heard that and some of the rude behavior, and I encourage everyone to maintain a more civil endeavor while we go forward in collaboration. So thank you.
My name is Susan Trout, and hi, Julia. I went to school with Julia. I hung out in the Cedar Woolley City Library, although I did need to save up my Berry money for a library card. And I spent a lot of hours there. And there's something to be said for the books in your hands. A Kindle can't quite do that. But whether we like it or not, our world is a-changing. And today's world is technology-based. And what was the little neighborhood library before has got to change and evolve with it. And change is painful. A lot of people don't like it. It's going to have to happen. We need to reach out and grab other age groups out there. We have loyal patrons that come to libraries year after year after year. They love it. They have a great satisfaction from it. It's wonderful. But there's a lot of people out there that are not being reached. There are people out there that need help with job search, with resumes, with certifications. People that need help with the language and citizenship. People that need help with food preparation, first aid, babysitting. It can be a hub. It can be something without limits if we do it together. We have to do it together because we can have two separate libraries and we all have the same expenses at both of them. So instead of being able to offer these programs for people to enrich and enlighten and to help them become self-sufficient, to help them keep and obtain better jobs, we need to pool our resources together and help to build a library that doesn't have limits and a library that will continually change and evolve for our changing community. Because we all have to be dragged into the future kicking and screaming, but that's where it's at, and that's where we need to head. And I really, really hope we can get past some of these hard emotional hurts and feelings and grudges that seem to be between the city and the county commissioners and the city. And the, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of history here. That's what I've gotten from any of these meetings I've gone to. But I think we need to put it aside. Think about the future, think about our children, and move forward towards a collaboration and a partnership. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Silas Maddox. I live here in Cedro Woolley. And I would just like to offer my comment in support of this proposed joint library. I made a similar comment at a council meeting, I think maybe back in December, when this maybe it might have been the first big meeting about the library, but the library was a very sort of cornerstone of my youth. I was raised by a single mother who owned her own business, and I spent every day at the library after school. I went from my school, I walked down to our neighborhood library, and I did my homework there and waited for her to finish up her day. And so that was a sort of a foundational experience in my life, and because of that, I have a soft spot for libraries. But there's this grand sort of reimagining of what libraries can be going on around the world, especially in our country, and we have an amazing opportunity here to not pay. You know, I'm a property owner here in town. I pay what feels like an awful lot of property taxes, but what I'm hearing is that our taxes are not going to go up. There might be some reallocations going on or something, but even if it did go up by $100 a year, that would be absolutely worth it to me to see our town moving forward into the future. And so, you know, there's a lot of technology that's not available to everybody out there, especially in the more rural areas. A lot of people still don't have internet service at home. They don't have access to computers. You know, I'm a blacksmith, which is sort of a very old profession, but technology plays a big role in what I do as a metal worker in the modern era. And there's a lot of tools that I never got because I sort of came up before this in computer-aided design and all of these things that allow sort of modern processes to happen. And it seems to me like a new and modern library might help facilitate some of that stuff. And if not for me, for the children coming up, giving them an opportunity. So I want to thank Mayor Wagner for pushing so hard on this. And just let the council and everyone know that I'm fully in support. So thank you.
And then you have a public comment? Okay, so we'll go here, and then you'll be next. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Janine Van Loo, and my little history is I used to work at the Cedro Woolley Library, and I loved working there. I enjoyed working with the community. I raised my children there, and I still go to the library all the time. I feel like I support the collaboration also, and I feel like Aaron and Mayor Wagner have also kind of conveyed to the group here that we don't have to fear for the protection of our resources here in the city because of the fact that they are looking out for what we own and what we've created through our funds over the years. I just think that it would be a real sad thing to not have a collaboration, because I think I coach basketball and I also coach tennis at the high school, and I feel like it, I hear this all the time that, you know, we, them, they, but Cedro Woolley is a tight-knit community. We come together for so many different things, and for us to not come together for a really wonderful community hub would be a sad situation. And so I really would appreciate you guys really rethinking your fear-based issues and understand that both the Skagit Rural Library wants to give information and a meeting place for people, as does the city library. I think that their ideas are similar, but if we can get past the fear of who has what and who has this and that, that maybe that would kind of get past a lot of the issues that we seem to stumble over. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Wen Wagner. And the reason I come up here, before I said, well, I probably shouldn't come up here because Keith is my husband. He probably does not want me to say anything. But for me, our family is very passionate about our library. The reason I'm passionate about it, I have three kids. They went to the library regularly, and we love library. My husband and I, we have been travel all around the world and United States, and we have been some wonderful libraries and some really small libraries. And I says now, Cedro Woolley finally has a chance to expand our library to much greater service and the collections with the upgrade and the technology. To me, my kids are already growing up. But right now we have the whole community. There are a lot of people. They are not be able to afford to come to library, afford to upgrade their computer, and their only source if they want to improve their reading or improve their life is going to the library. And those are the people we cannot exclude just because we're afraid. What if? What could happen? What is that? All those questions, we have to think about it. It has to come to forward to that point to discuss. Then we have our councilmen, our city attorney, our mayor to protect Cedro Woolley Library, to protect our people. But all this one has to go forward first instead of a step on the same line going backward. This proposal has passed on 2012. This is 2016 now. That's at least give a chance to give forward instead of say, oh, I don't want it because this, that may be happening. Because all this is negotiating points have to give a chance for our city, for the region board to come to a negotiation. And that's just my passion. And I know how much my husband went there. He probably lost a lot more hairs and lost a lot of hours of sleep over this because in the beginning, we saw this is such a wonderful chance. We can have a great top-of-the-line library within Skagit County. Why can we go forward? Thank you.
Yeah, public comment, please, yeah.
I need notes.
Okay, yeah, please.
You'll probably have to time me.
Okay.
This library issue, I'm sorry, my name is Tamara McGrady. I live in Birdsville, Birdsville up the highway. I'm in the Central Skagit Rural Parster County Library District. I have gone to their library. I checked my county tax statement and saw how much I pay for that. This has affected me both personally and professionally. I have two children. I lived 5 years in Birdsview, and before that, 13 years in Hamilton. I am a special education teacher with the Cedro Woolley School District. So on the personal side, I've come from a background of being in Alaska, being in Whatcom County, traveling around. And when I first moved to Skagit County and found out what the library system was like here, I told my husband, I said, well, we have to move. I can't stay here. And he said, I'm sorry, we already bought the house. So an example of access that I have experienced that I just want to share was I was working in Bristol Bay years ago, and I was working at a fish camp, and I talked the superintendent into letting me do some artwork for some boats. And I needed an image. I had good images of bears. There was a bear ship. There was a porpoise, a walrus. And I needed an image of Thor. So I thought, God, I need a reference to Thor. And so I called up the Dillingham Public Library. I was across the Nishigak River. And they flew me three books the next day to reference that artwork that I was working on. And so in terms of experiencing access, that was just a very unique experience. Then living in Whatcom County, living in Ferndale, getting books from Bellingham, and then moving here. And so paying for my library card, I was never turned away. I didn't always feel welcomed at this city library. And so I ended up becoming a very good customer of Amazon. I basically have a library in my house for my children. And, but, you know, not everybody can do that. On the professional side, I did experience as a special education teacher in the first few years of the WASL, the special ed team at Cascade Middle School where I was at, we were sent to a special training because we needed to help our students achieve the goals for the WASL. It was a two-day training with a librarian and reading specialist from Whatcom County. At the end, it was a wonderful training. It was about reading fluency, reading comprehension, inspiring passion of reading. At the end of the 2 days, which were excellent, somehow it came about that not all of the students in our district had free and easy access to books. And for the first time in 2 days, this trainer stopped talking. She couldn't believe it. And she said, well, that's a huge barrier. That's part of your problem. There might not be much that teachers, especially at the middle school level, can do to help if not every child in your school district has free and easy access to a book in their hands. I heard a lot tonight, but what I heard was that, to me, it seems like there's positives for both sides on this. There's good on both sides for both parties, and I just like to see it continue to move forward. Thanks.
Other public comment?
My name's Troy Irwin, and I live on Reed Street in Cedar Valley. And I have a hard time understanding what prompted the crisis on the library. We have, what, 5, 6 school buildings? Every one of them has a library. We pay directly and indirectly for all of those. So there's no reason that a child doesn't have access to whatever books he needs. So now we have a more than adequate library right here in Cedar Valley, and it's equipped very nicely with books. If we don't have enough books, just a request will get one for us. So we pay for that now, take care of it ourselves. And I just don't find that Cedar Valley should give up the control, what little we have now, of our library, what books go into it, what books don't go into it, what books go out of it that never come back. That's not that individuals are taking, but that individuals are deciding we shouldn't read or should read. I think we need control of that as much as possible. So basically, what's the crisis? There is none. There's all kinds of libraries. The college here has library books, a real good library. We pay for that directly or indirectly, just as we do for the one here in Cedar Valley. So think about it.
Anyone else for public comment? Sir? Yeah, that's you.
He's an attorney, say no.
Oh. I can't say no. He rebutted it so quickly. Yeah.
So I guess Will Honey. I live in Cedar Woolley. I used to live in the county until this May, so now I live in town. So I've got to look at this from both sides now, as the song goes. But why do we need libraries? What's the point? We all have internet, you know, and I think I've been doing a lot of thinking about that. And, you know, access to information is the basis of citizen democracy. Access to good information, regardless of your socioeconomic status. And I think remaining relevant is a real challenge for libraries. There are all these other things going on. And I've been trying to wrap my head around what this is all about, too, just from reading about it in the newspaper. I don't know that much, but I do think that, you know, remaining relevant takes money. And the mayor and the folks in the city council that worked on this have basically, it's an opportunity to find money to do this project for this library to remain relevant. Now, you know, like many people, I don't really know what's going on with all of this. I can, you know, on the one hand, it looks like a good opportunity to consolidate a couple of activities. One has money, the other doesn't have money, but it's got an established base. Bring them together and make something excellent. On the other side of the coin, nobody likes change. Things that have been around for a long time are comforting. But again, if we come back to the idea that, you know, what this is about is ultimately, it is tougher and tougher to interest kids into educating themselves. And that effort to remain relevant really needs to be the core of it. We get wrapped up in our own heads about our taxes and our tax statements. But the average kid thinking about this, the average family thinking about it that doesn't come to these meetings, what they know is there's some sort of squabble over the libraries. Let's not go there. The other thing I'd say is I wanted to say, I think, about this is there's another piece of this whole thing that's really come to my mind in watching it play out in the newspaper and online. And that is, you know, I've been involved a little bit in county government. And I think the number one thing, the number one resource that's hard to get, the scarce resource is good people to put themselves up for election in government of any sort. And I think it's been really disappointing to me, the tone of some of the letters and some of the stuff online. I think Paul and Betty Schweikert already left, but they're some of the folks that started this and got involved. Paul and Betty, Paul was a retired Army colonel. He served in the Russian embassy in the 60s at the height of the Cold War as a defense attaché. Betty was there, his wife. You know, just super smart, knowledgeable, competent people that put themselves out there to make this happen. You know, our mayor, also a retired military officer, I'm sure he could think of better things to be doing with his retirement. It doesn't pay very well to serve on the city council. It doesn't pay very well to be mayor. And I think I trust them to make good decisions. I don't know everything about this. I trust them to act in my interest. And so I hope we'll treat them all better. So thank you.
Anybody else care to want to make a public comment at the podium? Okay, Christine.
So my name is Christine Johnson. I live at 801 McLean Drive here in Cedar Woolley. Excuse me, I'm a city resident. I'm a lifelong user of the library. So I love literature and books, and I would like every child to have the opportunity to read as many books as possible. But finances are always a concern. And tonight I want to remind everyone who's still here, and unfortunately a lot of people had to go, that this was the first opportunity for us as city residents to ask in an open format our questions and get them answered. And I have to tell you, there were still a few I didn't get answered, so you have all that to look forward to on Wednesday night, I guess. My concerns regarding this proposal are not fear-based. I like facts. And we've heard tonight that there's many factors not fixed. It's a moving target. My concerns about this proposal are the control of the library, finances, things like the square footage that's being discussed has gone down as people realize that their dream library costs probably a lot more than they expected. And so I want you to remember that, too. And finally, to the city council members and to the mayor, if you hold a vote of the people, you will know what the majority of the people want. Thank you.
Anybody else with a public comment? Mary? Okay.
Taken so many cotton picking notes here, I'm not sure I can keep everything all straight. First of all, I'd like to thank the city council and the mayor and the city attorney and our librarian for making this effort to come out and give all of us this opportunity. Please, a round of applause for them. That was pretty amazing and wonderful. Okay, I also want to say that at the library today, I heard nothing but wonderful comments about the recent city concert that they had last night. Apparently that was a big, great thing. So kudos again to the city for that.
My name is Mary Anderson. I have lived in Cedar Woolley now for over 26 years. I have been a volunteer in many, many, many activities. I'm well known throughout the Boy Scout world. I'm known in the schools. I taught music as a volunteer for many years in the schools. I served as treasurer of booster clubs. I served as president of booster clubs. I dealt with the, I was part of the music at the high school library. Except for the sports, my kids were not in sports. Other than that, I have dealt with almost everything with the school district, and I really support and admire our school district here in Cedar Woolley. I want everyone to know that. I'm sorry that people felt that there were, someone said, violent verbal things said tonight. I don't think that was anyone's intention. I think, truly, we all do want the best, what's best for the community, whether it's the individual city of Cedar Woolley or the greater community of Greater Cedar Woolley and its school district. Having said that, however, I have to say, and it's not from a sense of fear, it's from a sense of concern. I'm concerned that after 3 years, the Central Skagit Library has really not done much for its citizens, for its constituents. And I'm concerned that in order for us even to bring them to the table, we had to promise them practically everything in our library. Somehow that doesn't seem right to me. I feel that the term partnership has been used repeatedly tonight, and Dan Gottlieb, the attorney for the Central Skagit Library, has stated publicly that it is not a partnership. It is not a partnership. So I'm concerned that what it says about the Central Skagit Library, that they are making us not only bend over backwards, but really do the limbo, a yoga position, if you will, just to get them to bring them to the table. We have supported the citizens of Cedar Woolley, and the people in the county who have paid for library cards have supported the Cedar Woolley City Library for over 100 years. And it concerns me that we would take this strong, stable, trusted library and give it to a group of people who have less than 5 years experience running a library, and in that 5 years have not given really adequate service to their people. They could have immediately contracted with any library in Skagit County that was contiguous to them. It didn't have to be Cedar Woolley. It could have been Mount Vernon. It could have been Burlington. But they chose not to. They chose not to give their people services. And so my concern tonight, and one that I really have to bring up and ask, is, are we really going to give control of our established library to a group of people who have not expressed any interest in it. I'm sure that our collection is attractive to them. Our collection will enable them to get reciprocal borrowing services from all of the other libraries in Skagit County, since that's what we enjoy now ourselves. I'm just concerned that that the attitudes between trying to bring this together are not really focused on what the people need, but what on perhaps on what legacies will be left. And I'm not pointing a finger at any individual. There could be issues of that on either side. I just want us to consider wisely before we just move forward that it's not about the jobs. It's not about fear. It's about ensuring that all of the people are best served by the most experienced people by the most experienced librarians. Perhaps I should phrase it that way. Thank you all for coming out tonight. It's really been marvelous. Thank you. Oh, and one last thing, for those of you who think we may not be relevant, you may not be aware that the Cedar Woolley City Library is a Pokemon gym. And we have our gym masters are battling even as we speak. And we have Pokemon games there at the library, so we are a happening place. Come by. Thank you.
I'm Kim Morgan, 413 Talcott Street. I've said this before, and I want to say it again. We are really lucky to have Keith and Aaron at the helm of this ship, driving. I know they both care, they listen to what people have to say. We're really fortunate to have them leading this and looking out for our interests. So, you know, stop the negativity. Let's all have a positive vision about what this can be. Thank you.
You have a public comment?
Okay. So my name is Melissa Mackenberg. I live here in Cedar Woolley, and I've lived here quite a while, and I'm a huge supporter of libraries. I've spoke before, but I just want to say again, I've used the city library. I worked there for a summer, and I appreciate what they've done, and I appreciate where they are. But we can do so much more, and I really think this collaboration isn't just good for our city, but it's a good demonstration to the entire county of how we can start to make the counties work together. It is sad that we're one of only two counties in the state that don't collaborate. And this is a way to move us in that direction. And so I'm excited about this, the talks tonight and the negotiations, and that we can move forward with this, because I don't see it as giving away my library. I see it as expanding my library. We're not going to lose any books. We get to gain books. We get to gain resources and work together. And that's a huge thing that I think we need to show more of in the county. So thank you.
Invite. Anyone else would like to stand and provide public comment? All right. Well, with that, so thank you so much, and thank you for all who stayed to listen to all your fellow community members. It's just your commitment to being here to the end speaks a lot about your passion for the library. I want to offer any kind of final closing comment from the whatever that table, the table. Aaron, if you'd like to make a final close up. And
I just want to echo what they said to you.
Oh, thank you.
A really great job.
Oh, thank you. Well, my pleasure. Yeah. And I learned a lot, actually, from how all the jurisdictions work. So thank you, everybody, tonight. I think we gave down a list of the upcoming meetings. And so where you have the capacity and the ability to have your voice heard there, I think that just moves the conversation forward. So thank you so much for tonight and all your participation, and for being such good listeners to one another. And I think that speaks volume to the community. So thank you.